Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Q&A episode of Weekly Manga Recap for the month of September 2016. I'm Y-Rod, here with Rolo T. Chris, what's going on, man?
That's me.
That is you.
That is me. I'm a little disappointed, Nick.
Because, a little disappointed?
Yeah, I'm putting together a running playlist. It's my goal right now. I actually started up a bucket list. It's a side topic, but one of my bucket list items was to create a really good running playlist. Like, I just want to have a great, very extensive running playlist. So I've started to put one together. I'm right now putting it together via Spotify. And what Spotify does, once you start putting music in it, is it starts recommending you new artists.
Oh no, did Gab find this playlist?
I know, right? No, it starts recommending...
Oh, what's wrong with the Transformers song?
Gab. It recommends songs for you based off of what's already in the playlist. So, the first song I put into was Power by Kanye West, so it started asking me to put it in a bunch of more like hip-hop kind of tracks, like, you know, DJ Lazer, things like that. It works. I filled out my playlist, and I was like, okay, now that I've put everything in that I have thus far, I want to see what it recommends me. And I have never been so saddened in my life. This is right now the songs it's recommending I add to my playlist.
Okay.
In the End by Linkin Park.
All right.
The Diary of Jane by Breaking Benjamin.
I mean, I'm seeing the connection here, yeah.
Still Waiting by Sum 41.
I don't even know if I know that song.
All the Small Things by Blink-182. Welcome to the Black Parade by My Chemical Romance. An Animal I Have Become by 3 Days Grace.
What you're saying is Spotify realized that you were born in 1988.
Based on Spotify suggestions, I need to just destroy this playlist because it's clearly just, it's been tainted. There's no recovery.
Like, this isn't a very, like, high energy, go out and take on the world playlist.
I understood it to a small extent when it recommended, like, one or two of them. Because I do have I have Rise Against in there, and I have a 30 Seconds to Mars song on there, and there's something else on here that I think gives it kind of a hit on that. Like a Foo Fighters. I can see where they maybe get some of that, but I also have, like, Marky Mark and the Funky Bunch, Genesis, Kanye West, Velvet Revolver, Bruce Springsteen. The most recent person I added was a Bruce Springsteen song. And nothing even remotely in that range is it recommending that to me. It's just like, oh, you like emo garbage? Here you go. Why don't you have Bullets for My Valentine on your playlist? It's like, oh, God, what are you doing to me, Spotify?
Oh, man. That does take me back to the D&D playlist that we had going.
Yeah. Oh, that was a good playlist.
That did introduce me to some fun music, I will admit.
You know what's actually kind of unique about that is, I guess, because of the fact that so many people were in it at the time and it got, like, so many hits, I guess we must be, because the playlist is still out there, and it must be something that's relatively high, I guess, if you search D&D battle music, because people are still adding music to it as recently as last month.
It's you know, something that just, yeah, people just...
Like, new people subscribe.
Look for D&D music, not through us, but because they're looking for D&D music, yeah.
Yeah, and because D&D battle music, I guess, is one of the... It must pop up for that. I never actually looked to see, but...
But at the same time, how can they look at that and be like, oh yeah, this is a great playlist for Dungeons & Dragons.
There's so much great Dungeons & Dragons-themed music in here, you know, with fucking the Skullgirl soundtrack and... So much Metropolis.
Oh, look, Street Fighter 4 soundtracks on here, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Gav, I believe, looks like he added the entire Warhammer collection.
Gav. He must do it just to piss you off after a certain point.
It's like his way of getting back at me.
Oh, I'll show you a claim.
I'll show you quality content, I will.
Oh, man. So, as is tradition for one of our Q&A podcasts, it's time for us to ask a question. But before that, you have a little thing that you wanted to add to this show.
Yeah. So, I figure, you know, with the way we do the Q&A already, you know, listeners ask us questions and we answer them. And then we have it at the start where we ask each other a question and we answer for one another. I thought, why don't we finish off that trifecta kind of, and at the start or at the end, I don't know how we want to do it necessarily, but we ask our listeners questions, we pose it to them, and then they can send in their responses, we'll keep them, and then next month we'll read some of the best ones at the start of the next episode.
Yeah.
So I got two questions for you guys. The first is actually very relevant to that. I am looking to improve my running playlist. Are there any anime openings or J-pop / rock songs that you guys think would make really good running songs?
Karate by Baby Metal.
I should check that out at some time. I've got a few. I actually do have a few like anime opening songs on my playlist, so always open to hearing what people think would be a good one. And a second question for you guys. We recently did the first episode of Troll OT Trivia, which a lot of people really dug. So if you were to ever see a sequel on that, another episode, have two internet personalities compete over, you know, a topic of, doesn't have to be manga or anime related, just any kind of nerd related topic in general, who would you like to see go up against one another?
Mm-hmm. So and it's gonna be kind of weird because some people have suggested various things for that, and it's a little difficult because whoever ends up composing the quiz also has to get be at least somewhat knowledgeable and then have to prepare for it.
Yes.
It's weird.
That's part of the fun of it.
I might end up having to host one of those in your stead based on some of the suggestions we've gotten.
Yeah, we'll have to see how some of that goes down. But I'm interested to see what people think. So yeah, send in your responses to that. You can shoot it in. I prefer if you kept it in an email just to, in and of itself, those answers. Just so I can put them in a folder, keep them somewhere separate from everything else, and we can just look at them the next time. But yeah, well, if you guys send us in some responses to that, we can read them at the start of next show, and I think it might be a fun little monthly segment. Boosh.
All right,
so we're going to pick up where we left off. As I mentioned...
Well, we haven't asked any...
That's right. How about you lead then, since I...
Okay. I stumbled across this guy's YouTube channel, like, either yesterday or the day before. What's his name? I think it's like Gel with J-E-L-L-E. Mm-hmm. He does marble runs, which are...
Marble?
He's got this massive collection of marbles and marble tracks, and he just has them, like, he just does, like, races and various other things, and he's got this whole YouTube channel just dedicated to it, and it's bizarrely engaging. He's just doing, you know, like, and you know, pick your favorite and watch the marble go down the track, you know, stuff like that. And then he's also got, like, the current stuff that he's doing is the Marble Olympics.
Marble?
Yeah, he's got all these bizarrely, incredibly complex events that he's set up, not just races, but, like, these knockouts, like, high jumping by just seeing which marble goes the highest off of a track and so on and so forth. It's incredibly weirdly engaging, and I can't imagine the amount of time and preparation he must put into doing it, because then, of course, he edits the video together, keeps very, very, very close, precise track of the statistics that, you know, like times and, or, you know, whatever equivalent is going on. So I've been watching through that stuff, you know, while doing other stuff, because it's a really fun thing just to have on in the background. But it made me think of, like, toys that I had as a kid that I don't often think of. Like, because I had marbles when I was a kid, but it's like the last thing that I think of when I think of, oh, you know, what toys did you have as a kid? It's like, oh, I had Power Rangers stuff, I had
Teenage Mutant Ninja stuff. Action figures, generally.
I had a collection of, you know, little cars, stuff like that. I had a whole ton of Legos. But yeah, I did have marbles. And so it made me think, is there some sort of toy that you remember having, but it's, like, not the first thing that you think of, I guess? It's a really weird question to answer, because it's kind of a catch-22. Like, if you think of it, then it's, yeah, like, it kind of disqualifies it. But, like, I guess what's the weirdest...
I actually have a good answer, I think, for that. I can't remember what the name of this was, but in the similar vein to Legos, I believe Nickelodeon produced it. It was essentially another kind of building, not building block, it's just like a building collection, building kit, but all the pieces that weren't blocks, it would be things like a crazy long curvy tube that you could bend and ply, and then it would
be... Were those
be
the things that they had, like, at Denny's?
They may have had them at Denny's. I feel like we went to some specialty store or something like that. Like, we may have gotten them at, like, a factory tour or something like that. Like, they weren't carried, I guess.
Oh, wait, they were bendy. Were they like, the tooth that could expand and contract?
I think there may have been some of those in there. There were also, like, platforms that were, like, almost, like, jagged shaped. And it was basically, like, just a very abstract form of Legos. You connected, you bend, You contorted all these pieces to connect to one another, but they weren't blocks. They were just these weird kind of shapes and tubes and just awkward weirdness.
Hmm.
I can't remember the name of this thing at all, but I remember having it as a kid and playing with it a good deal until, like, eventually you're just like, all right, I mean, there's so many times I can make nothing and then I get kind of bored of this. Like, it's not like a Lego where you can, you know, they have, like, an underwater palace or something like that. It was like, you made another squiggly Biggle Borb. There you go. Fucking play with it, dickhead. But I remember actually when I had it, yeah, I always used to keep it in the closet.
It's
a weird one.
One of the ones I had was I had a ton of Ninja Turtles toys, but the one that I thought of recently was I had, because they had all sorts of variations on the turtles so that they could sell, you know, more toys. Mm-hmm. And I had this, like, caveman variation where it was like, you know, caveman sort of turtles, and each of them had a dinosaur mount too.
Huh.
Which of course had their respective color bandanas over their eyes too, anyway.
Were they like, they weren't from the show or anything like that?
I don't think that they ever had any caveman turtle thing, no.
Huh. I always found it was kind of interesting when they just invented something new for the toy line. Like, they were just like, fuck, these dickheads didn't put enough interest
in this. They transform, and so their weapons transform too.
Yeah. Baseball turtles, because, I don't know, kids like baseball, right?
Yeah, birthday party turtles.
I have a question for you. This is kind of a weird one, but I heard someone else ask this, and I thought it's actually a really interesting question. Have you ever, this isn't the question itself, but have you ever watched Seinfeld?
Yeah, a couple episodes here and there.
You kind of know how Jerry functions when it comes to relationships and stuff, right? Him and George, and Elaine even to a lesser extent, like, they get in relationships and very minor things kind of eventually cause the thing to break up.
Right.
What would be the reason why Jerry from Seinfeld would break up with you? Like, what would be the weird, small, social abnormality that you have or that you do that Jerry would be unable to reconcile with until he just blows up on you and ruins the relationship?
Every single night's gonna have us brown sugar cinnamon Pop-Tart. I don't get it.
There are other flavors of Pop-Tarts.
Pop-Tarts aren't even that great to begin with. Why is that be just the one, though?
Eat some coal. They put them in a toaster. They're toaster-shaped. Doesn't put them in a toaster.
I mean, I think that that's kind of being such a stupid little thing.
Because I thought about it, I was like, I don't finish TV shows. Like, there's some that I obviously do, but there are plenty that I
can totally understand someone getting pissed off,
like,
about them.
I told him, like, he's like, oh, so you watch Breaking Bad? I'm like, yeah, I got all the way through the fourth season. What? Fourth season? You didn't finish the last season? Nah, I just didn't finish it. Why would you watch four seasons and not finish the last season? Doesn't make sense. Just sit there. Just watch it. Just watch the last season. I'm like, I don't know. I don't really care about watching it.
I've done that with so many shows, though. Like, I'm still stuck on, like, episode one of season three of The Wire.
Yeah, like, I feel like I have so many shows like Avatar, where it's like, yeah, I finished the first season of Avatar Last Airbender. Well, watch the rest. Like, it's, I don't know.
Season 2 is where it starts to get really good!
that's where it's great! If you haven't watched Season 2, you haven't watched
Season 12 yet!
I'm just like, yeah, it's just Jerry. I mean,
this is, like, gonna have to be our go-to for...
I'm like, Jerry, I feel like, you know, we just kind of, we've, you know, we have a good thing going here. Why don't, let's not ruin it over just this. How much Oz have you watched? Like, six episodes or something like that. Like, why didn't you finish it? Just watch more. Yeah.
How far did you get into Game of Thrones? You know, four seasons. I just stopped being interested when season 5 started. Oh, how can you stop being interested?
Just finish the show.
You haven't even seen Arya getting into the to a training yet.
Like, I watched 7 episodes of Kanae's Neighbor. Did you finish it? No. Did you like it? Oh yeah, I thought it was excellent. Why don't you just watch the last episodes? Like, I don't know.
When are you going to finish Stranger Things, Nick? There's only 8 episodes so far.
Why don't you shut the fuck up, Jerry? How about that?
It's really interesting. I'll get around to it eventually. I just, you know, I'll just get to it when I get to it.
All right, now.
Like where that went. Good one.
I think that's a good, yeah. All right. Let's dig into our large bag of mail down here from listeners.
As a result of only taking Bleach questions for Blogus last month, we've got stuff from May to get to.
Now, admittedly, the end of May. But still, yes, we have a couple questions here for May.
We're lucky if we can get halfway through June because of so many... There are so many questions that got asked you.
I'm going to note, there are going to be times where I'm going to probably abridge some questions that people ask, if only because answering every single part of it's just too time-consuming. Mm-hmm. So there'll be a couple questions like that. So we're going to start off here with a question from Jack Lebrano. Dear Porqué, Ruler of Time, and Autobots, roll out tea.
People go for that one a whole lot with you. I think that's like your unofficial full name now.
Yeah, Autobots roll out to you, yeah. First, Chris, this is for me specifically. A few months ago, I had the opportunity to study abroad in Japan and discover the whole new appreciation for Shokugeki no Soma, as the food in Japan tastes so good. Even eating McDonald's cheeseburgers almost made my clothes explode right in the restaurant. And since Nick doesn't eat anything that isn't chicken pot pie or Pop-Tart shaped, I'll ask you instead. Have you ever tried udon, ramen, or any Japanese food? And if so, what would you recommend?
For the record, I like some Japanese food.
Yeah, I like how like the joke has apparently just become that you don't eat anything at all.
I don't eat anything except pot pie and Pop-Tarts.
I honestly can't actually give you a good answer for this, because unfortunately I cannot stand seafood, and
that's a big part of it.
That's a big part of Japanese food. So I know there's stuff that they make that isn't with seafood in it, but I think the stuff that actually gets to America mostly is like sushi or things like that. I do want to try some of the newer stuff. For the longest time, I didn't realize that ramen isn't just noodles. Like, I always just thought, like, top ramen, like, oh, that's what ramen is. It's just noodles and fucking seasoned broth. That's all it is. And I'm like, it's like fried eggs and ham and shit you could actually put in it to make it unique. It would be like thinking pasta is defined entirely by just spaghetti, you know? So I do actually really want to try a lot of those foods. I want to get to Japan, actually. That's on the bucket list. I'm trying to make a real push to get to Japan at some point. And while I'm there, a big part of it would be trying a lot of those different foods.
Yeah.
Second question here for me. A long time ago, you mentioned that you would think of watching My Hero Academy, the anime, because the music sounds great since it's aired, but you haven't mentioned what you thought of it. Did you watch it, or was it just not worth bringing up compared to JoJo's? I actually have watched, I think, 3 episodes of the My Hero anime. I watched one of it actually in the dub version, and I watched the other 2 with the subtitled versions. But I do like the music in it a lot. I forget what the one track is. You can run. It's like the first track in the OST. You Say Run is what it's called, and it's like everything I could have hoped for with that heroic kind of soundtrack. It's an epic, awesome, like superhero kind of theme song. So definitely love the music in it. Do you like the Hero, My Hero Academia?
I think I've only watched about as much as you have. I did like what I saw. But I mean, I do have this hang up. I think I've mentioned a few times whenever I'm like watching something, it's just like, well, I've already read this. So I know that there's, you know, other stuff that you can appreciate about it. You know, some stuff can come across better in animation than in manga, but it was just kind of a hang-up I have. It's just part of my preference for manga over anime, is that, like, oh, okay, if I know the story already, it's like, well, I don't need to watch it then. I can just read it at my own pace.
Yeah.
But I do like the music. I really, really like the opening of the show, the day. It's an all right song, and it's...
I'm waiting for a full track to come out for it. I don't think one's officially been released yet.
I think that the full track is out.
is?
I've seen people do English covers of the full song. So
I'll have to check that out. Porno Graffiti did it, I believe, which is a group name that I don't feel very comfortable like typing into things.
Oh my! This street art is very obscene.
Oh dear.
But, I like the song all right, but, like, if you watch it with the opening and, you know, it gets to the chorus when all of the different kids are showing off their powers, it's like, I'm ready to watch the show now.
Question here for you, Nick. I've noticed that you tend to rely on Chris when it comes to remembering the supernovas of One Piece, and I'm just curious, is it because you somehow skipped that arc, or you simply not remember all of them?
I've got such huge gaps in my memory when it comes to One Piece. I had to cover a lot of it in a short period of time at one point, and there's so much of it that I don't want to invest the time to going back to reread it, unless, you know, I've got a lot of time to dedicate to it. And so the supernovas part was something that I really skimmed through, and so a lot of it didn't quite take. So, like, when Capone showed up, I completely forgot he was one of the supernovas.
It also helps that when it comes to One Piece, it's like that's the series I remember really well. So even if it's just
right, if we were going to do a Trollo T trivia on One Piece, it would be you and someone else and me hosting.
Yeah, it's like normally when it comes to most other series, it's me had to rely on Nick. Like, do you remember this dude's name? But with One Piece, I think it's just part of its One Piece's naming convention too is a lot less Japanese and a lot more like distinct kind of. More European sounding names, so it's easy to remember them for me.
It's a mix. There's a lot of different kinds because of all the different.
There's one last question here. Do you think at this point Shirobukuro has become Kubo and the fact that he's forgotten the majority of powers Toriko and the crew originally had, because since the time skip there's been no mention of perfect routines, appetite energy, or the Kamehameha Pac-Man?
Well, actually, I mean, at the point that we're reading this, actually what the fuck was that thing called? Meal Fit for a King. That was it. Acacia launched a whole bunch of those, so he hasn't forgotten about them. I think that it's just a matter of... he keeps on coming up with new stuff in order to up the ante. Like, the current fight is, you know, they're literally destroying parts of the globe as they fight each other. And so, if you go back to, well... You know, he used his 10 impact Kugi punch. It's like, well, it's not as big a deal.
Yeah.
I think that's all it is, really.
It happens with most series, too. Like, I mean, like, how big of an important thing was Sage Form in Naruto after a while? Like, he didn't really use it anymore. It evolved into something.
Unless he actually, he had to combine it with the Kyuubi for it to actually mean anything.
Yeah, it's just one of those things that as battle shounens get longer in, most of the techniques kind of become irrelevant. I think if you look at, like, One Piece, I think only manages to stay relevant with it because Luffy continues to use just upgraded version of those techniques in new forms and things like that.
Yeah, it's just the way it tends to operate is, you know, things are recognizably the way that they start off as. Mm-hmm. It's something that people have commented on before. And it's difficult to do that, though.
Yeah.
I mean, even Dragon Ball, you know, pulled out the Super Saiyans and stuff.
Plus, it's not like Toriko's had many fights, per se, like, in the manga as of recently.
Or at least with the same characters.
Yeah, like, it's usually, like, a lot of the past series has been these giant fights against the Four Kings and things like that. And they usually had to do, like, big group attacks or new things altogether to even compete with them, so.
Yeah.
All right. Thank you, Jack.
Yeah, let's move on to... I don't think that they actually put her name here, so... All right. Hello, it's me. It's me. It's Rollo T. And I don't actually get this reference for me. Why, Ruler of Time? Why, you son of a bitch? Why? No, tell me why!
It's JR. Why, you son of a bitch? Oh. Why, Stone Cold? Why? Tell me why!
Okay, gotcha. Hope you liked the wrestling introduction, which leads to my first question. Do you think it would be possible to make a wrestling manga? You could follow three young wrestlers, one that gets popular with hardcore matches, one that has great techniques and is a great heel, and one that has family ties and is not liked by the fans because of it. And then clarification, no, I'm not talking about The Shield, I'm talking about Mick Foley, Kurt Angle, and The Rock, which... But There's a lot of different people who fit those archetypes, though. Like,
I don't think it was even a... Okay, there's no question in that. He's just noting, like, a manga that he'd like to make.
Would it be possible to make wrestling manga? It would be. There have been wrestling manga, but they've taken weird directions. I mean, Kaneko Man is evolved into a wrestling manga after a time. It's definitely possible to do it. You would do it, you know, in the same way that you would do a general fighting series or mix into a combat sports series that, you know, like an MMA or a boxing. The one thing that I think you would have to keep in mind if you were going to do a wrestling one is, are you going to go balls to the wall, this is super fake, weird cartoon characters, or would you have it be a matter of, okay, you know, this is a performance? And how someone actually is making their way through that. Yeah. And I don't think that this is fake would work, because from what I understand, kayfabe was never fully broken in Japan. So if you made a series all about that, then the Yakuza would kill you, basically.
Probably a fate you don't want to have to deal with over there.
But I think it would be interesting to eventually have a series about a kayfabe performer. You know, something like The Wrestler.
Yeah, definitely a possibility.
Second question. I'm 28 years old now, grew up with Naruto and learned English reading it, and since then have not really been impressed by any new shonen manga. Maybe I have read too much stuff, but for me, Black Clover is just Naruto mixed with fairy tale. My Hero Academia is the idea of new X-Men without the real world issues that these kids have to face. My question is, do you think that you will ever stop liking the shonen genre and the limitations it has? Maybe?
I mean, probably at some point I won't read shonen manga anymore. I mean, it's really hard
to
say.
You'll turn 70 eventually. So.
Yeah, like one day I'm eventually just going to be like,
he's old manga!
I'm so old, page turning's hard, and they didn't implant that reader into my brain like they said they would.
They lied to me, and it's all your fault, Luffy.
You betrayed me. When you end in 7 years, One Piece, I'm never gonna read you.
But yeah, I'm not worried about that right now. Yeah. Basically, question C: which of the all-time classics have you not read? I, for example, have never read a single page of Fist of the North Star. You and me both never have read that yet. There's a whole lot of Berserk that I still have yet to read. Actually, a lot of original Dragon Ball that I haven't read.
Yeah, that's my answer. I have not read any of the original Dragon Ball and any of Dragon Ball Z. I've watched portions of those shows, but, like, I only started watching Dragon Ball Z when, basically right before Perfect Cell got introduced.
Oh, wow.
So I've never seen any... The entirety I know of the Frieza arc has essentially been absorbed through watching Dragon Ball Z Abridged. Like, it's how I've gathered most of it.
So at one point you were like, what's this over 9,000 thing?
Yeah, like, I kept saying that. I kept seeing that. I also was like, wait, some fat fucking ninja dude helped take down Vegeta?
This is ridiculous. Yeah, Drew.
Like, what? Who is this guy? I've never... At least the other fucking, like loser characters like Tien and Yamcha show up in, like, a background shots as the series goes on.
Oh, no, yeah, Jirobi's there for training, too. He's just eating all the time during the training.
I feel like I never saw that.
He doesn't even go with them in their little weird time travel training device where they meet the old Saiyans. He doesn't even go with them. He's like, nope, stay over here. Gonna eat. I imagine that he must have had a larger role in original Dragon Ball, like a lot of those characters who don't do a lot in Z. Yeah. One more that I'll name is Saint Seiya. That's a pretty big one.
Yes.
Question IV, Roman numeral 4. The reading Domestic Na Kanojo from Sasuke K, who is the mangaka of Good Ending. It's good so far, but my biggest problem with it is that it's really similar to GE. Is it a problem for you if you can see the mangaka is using elements from their older manga? Not really most of the time, but there is a breaking point When we did our, God, what was it called? Fuck. The baseball one.
Oh, by Meet... 1 ounce?
No. By Meet the romantic one.
Oh, Cross Game?
Was that Cross Game, yeah. Yeah, that one by Mitsuru Adachi where I've just basically spent half the episode going, here's my problem with Mitsuru Adachi series and how they're all the same. When you've been doing manga for like 30 something years and all of your manga have like recurring themes throughout them and I've got a problem with those recurring themes, then it does bother me that all of them are the same.
Yeah, I think it would kind of come down to how similar it is between them. Like, because I honestly can't think of too many mangaka that I've read more than one series from, because a lot of what we read is, like, long-running. But, like, Urasawa, I've read a couple of his series, and I could definitely pick up on common themes, common sort of traits between those series, but none of them ever bother me. So I think I'd have to see almost more of an extreme example. Actually, when it came to 1 ounce, that was a situation where I was kind of like, huh, I definitely could see the similarity between this and Liar Game a lot.
Right,
even
right.
It still doesn't completely turn me off from it.
Or you watch, Miyazaki thing. It's like, gee, I wonder if there's an undertone in this about humanity destroying nature. Question 0101.
I'm guessing is that binary for five?
Binary five, yeah. Okay. What is the biggest change of genre that you have seen a mangaka do? For me, it's Inoue Takahiko writing Slam Dunk and also Vagabond.
It has to be, for me, 100% Hiromo Arakawa, who went from Full Metal Alchemist, an action series, over to Silver Spoon, a slice of life series about growing up in an agricultural academy.
Now, just to add in a mention to it, Oba and Obata, going from Death Note to Bakuman. I mean, there's definitely similarities in terms of all, being set in the real world and stuff, but Oba, just...
like, overthinking and logic to it.
Mm.
But yeah, there's a stark difference between them. And you could even say then after that, when Obata is the artist, I believe, when you think went from Bakuman over then to All You Need Is Kill.
Yeah.
Where you're like, that's kind of a stark jump too.
And was it him that was on Hikaru no Go? Or
yes.
Am I thinking?
Yeah. I think you are right.
Another one there. I like the, and they ended email by saying, have a great Thanksgiving or Halloween if you're fast.
How dare, we made it in time for Labor Day almost.
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 All right, next up.
Actually, I think we jumped over one, so I'm going to back up one.
Did we?
Here. Yeah, a question here from Matt K.
Oh, we did, yeah.
Hello, Rolo like the chocolate tea, and why Ruler of Tea, which I assume is Mr. Chocolate. I don't quite get that one, but all right, go for it. Note says he's a long-time listener since Magi, and he actually met a friend from this, because he found somebody who quoted WMR, so I thought...
Weekly Mangarika, bringing people together.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. What power or magic system has captured your imagination? I'm not asking what you found to be the best in execution, but best in concept. So what's like a power or magic system within a manga that you found to be particularly excellent or interesting?
I prepared for this episode by, reading a bunch of these ahead of time. Mm-hmm. Still have not thought of an answer to this question.
I can give you this. I really, really love stands in JoJo's Bizarre Adventure, especially once, part four comes along, because that's when stands get more baroque and they start playing with their own rules more and more. You get really kind of crazy powers, and just seeing how Araki manages to work with all these crazy things, It starts off simple, like someone who can punch really fast, somebody with fire abilities, somebody who's in a mirror world. But then by the end of it, you're getting powers that are so ridiculous, like the ability to turn yourself into string, the ability to put a sticker on something and duplicate it, just stuff that you're like, it's so inventive that you're doing this, and you execute all of them in just such an interesting way, where you've made a battle manga that's essentially a murder mystery in every little fight, because you're just trying not to get killed by this new mysterious stand. So I always really thought that was cool. Second question here. who is your favorite protagonist in a series you cover, and do they outshine the side characters? Now, I think when you say protagonist, I think he's referring to, like, the main...
The very, very main top character. Well, so, like, Asta, Ichigo, Natsu, Soma.
Well, it's kind of weird, because he elaborates on this again. He says, I find protagonists that are more interesting than the side characters very rare, and the only case I can think of are Berserk, Part 2, JoJo, Trigun, and One Punch Man. Do you think that this is an issue with current writing trends? So I guess he's saying, do we find the protagonists in each of the series more interesting than our side characters?
Basically, the question is, of the series that we cover, which of those main protagonists is our favorite? And do you think that they actually outshine the side characters? Because Matt believes that, in general, the supporting cast tends to be more interesting than the main character in current shonen. Mm-hmm. Which I understand the point.
Yes.
Because, in general, because of the way that audiences and also the industry work, we kind of expect and are thus given shonen protagonists that are a certain way, represent certain values, act a certain way, you know, are the main character, which then the world can then be built around. Like, yeah. I expect the main character to be this way. So I get the point. Yeah.
There are definitely rules you kind of almost have to adhere to when creating a main character, and you aren't bound by that later. So you can create a lot more vulnerable characters as side characters, a lot more broken characters as side characters, a lot more flawed characters as side characters. So yeah, there definitely is that. When it comes to the Jump series, like, I think Luffy's a great character, but I don't think he's better than any of the Straw Hats, and I don't think any of the Straw Hats are better than him necessarily. Like, that's a group where I have favorites in it, but they're all so kind of high up, I don't really count them against each other. Asta's kind of tough to really count because he's not as interesting as the rest of his characters, but they aren't really interesting because they haven't had a lot told about them yet. Food Wars, like, I like Soma. He's not my favorite character, but I still like Soma. He's well done. Deku's the same way. There's a lot of My Hero characters I really like, but Deku is still a really strong, great character. World Trigger, Osamu probably is my favorite character, so I guess
that's the closest. Yuma's the main character.
I consider Osamu the main character.
I know, but Yuma's the main character.
I don't think he is.
He is.
I don't know. I think
who's on the cover of the first volume? Sells
better, I think.
Who's on the cover of the first volume?
Yeah, but who's the first person he talks about in, like, the character bios at the end? It's tough. I feel like there is, like...
It's actually Yuma.
I believe it. I thought it was Osamu.
Yuma's the first one he talks about.
Well, now I look like a big dumb fool. Whatever. I think the only person...
So, I mean, I definitely see the point that they're making. Like, because I'm looking over, like, okay, these are the series in Jump that we're currently covering. Asta, we just got done with Ichigo. Natsu, Soma, Deku, Luffy, Emma, Toriko, Yuma.
Honestly, of that list, the only one I can actually think where I think the side characters are better is Fairy Tail, and that's only Gigio. Because, like, when it comes to all the rest of them, I'm like, no, I mean, none of them are really necessarily better than the main character. I don't think Jump actually has that big of an issue when it comes to main characters right now. I think a lot of them are a lot better than people give them credit.
Well, I definitely don't like...
Especially now that Bleach has ended.
I definitely don't like Asta. And I think that, I mean, the rest of the Black Bulls that he hangs out with, I think, have gotten to endear themselves to me a bit more, especially recently. Natsu. Soma, I think, is... When you look at that list, I think Soma's actually probably the most interesting because he's so selfish. And so he's got that way of... He feels like he's at the level of the supporting cast. There are definitely some that I think surpass him, and he does feel a little bit blandish at certain points, but he bounces off of a bunch of characters really well, I think. Deku is very white meat, I guess is the best way of putting it. Very straightforward, good guy. Not as entertaining as a lot of his supporting cast are. Luffy, really good. He is one of the Straw Hats. Yeah. So I definitely see the point. There's not one where I feel like, oh yeah, you know, the main character is where it's at, and fuck everyone else. So
yeah,
interesting point. Okay, moving on to Squeeploop. Hi Nick, what do I do with this box of chocolate pop tarts, Freeman? And Chris, I got destroyed by rotten egg flavored jelly bean Larios.
It's so gross. There's, I can't eat.
You know, Chris.
Yeah, mint afterwards.
You know.
Did I tell that story already?
You did. There's a joke in one of the emails we get about it.
I want a note for everybody.
I know.
It's my Holocaust. I need to let everybody remember.
It's a Holocaust in my mouth. One, you've had quite a lot of manga suggestions since you started the podcast, some of which are quite bad. I want to ask, what would you say is a great character that was wasted on a terrible series? I think we've answered variations of this question before. Oh, no, we've gotten questions like, if you could rescue a character from one series and put them in another one.
I honestly had trouble thinking of, like, a real good answer for this. I put Buka from Air Gear, if only because Air Gear's on my mind. I'm like, Buka was way too cool of a character design to waste on this stupid fucking series.
Question 2, do you ever read the Jump author comments?
Yes, I usually do.
I occasionally do. I know that you tend to read them more often than I do.
They're interesting.
Number 3, I wanted to save this until you've both read more Pokemon Special and JoJo's Bizarre Adventure. Well, good luck. We just finished this. We're now through the second parts of both of them. I'm going to ask it now in case you have, by the time you get to this question. Let's say we mix them both up. What kind of stance would the Dex holders have? What kind of team would the new members of the Joestar lineage have?
You still asked this too early.
You really did. Well, you know a few Dex holders now, and you know what stands are. And I'm just kind of like, well, they're like spirit doll things that give them power somehow.
Yeah, I can't. I don't want to get into which Dex holders would have stands quite yet, just because I don't want to spoil any stands too much before you start getting into that stuff. Mm-hmm. But the second part of it, I think I can do. What kind of Pokemon would the Joestars that we've gotten to at least read, or mm-hmm. what kind would they have? I'm not doing the whole team. That would take forever. So I just pick like one Pokemon that I thought would represent them really well.
Fair enough.
So I'm trying to remember the name of this fucking Pokemon, and I can't for the life of me. Here it is, Stoutland. Stoutland would be Joseph or Jonathan's, like the regal fucking dog from Gen 5. It's just a normal type, but it has like the big mustache.
Definitely. Yeah, it would be, and it'd also be his dog that Dio killed. Sure, yeah,
Danny. So I thought that'd fit for him. For Joseph, it'd be Scrafty. Because it's a fighting dark type. It's also representative of America, which is where Joseph had spent most of his life. And it's also a tricky Pokemon, which is mm-hmm. his whole style. And then for Jotaro, I put in Pongordo. So you don't know Jotaro too much, but I mean, Pokemon.
I've seen. I know a little bit about him.
Yeah, and I think Pongordo was essentially like a model.
The panda one, right?
Yeah, the big panda one, the evolved form, so he even has the fucking trench coat just like Jotaro.
Why did you choose that one? Because they dress the same.
It's a fighting type, so, yeah.
All right.
So, yeah, there you go. All right. Question here.
Lumramayasha.
Ah, yes, in the subject. From Lumramayasha, hello, why so serious, Roller of Time, and transform in Rolo T.
There it is again.
Yeah. With the success... Okay, this is the one I was expecting. All right. This is... I don't want to cut any of your questions short here, but you're essentially asking like a bunch of questions related to the Marvel Cinematic Universe and how it would apply to Weekly Shonen Jump if they were to do it.
Right.
So I'm going to kind of condense these because there are multiple part questions of a similar topic of essentially if you could create a Weekly Shonen Jump Cinematic Universe, how would you kind of do it? What characters would you introduce? And what would you kind of want to make them be? That's a really hard question because... The biggest issue is just the fact that Shonen Jump doesn't share a universe. Like, none of the series can really exist in one another, because they all have...
It's fun whenever they release, like, an All-Stars game.
Yeah.
You know, Super Smash-style thing, where it's just like, okay, you know, we'll do a one-off, and then, you know, later down the line, we'll do another one-off and stuff, but an ongoing story with all the characters, geez.
Yeah, like, it's tough to do that exactly. However, I did put in the thought of, like, what would I do... Say you have to. Say you have to do this. What characters would you give their own movies to? And then, like, what would you do from there? So he actually even puts in, like, what would you have your Avengers / Justice League team be? So I picked these six characters to be essentially the, like, the solo movie characters. Goku, Luffy, Naruto, Kenshin, Yusuke, and Jotaro.
That's a good list.
They all kind of represent different genres a bit too. Like Kenshin, yours pure swordplay, whereas Naruto, you get into like the magical chakra ninjutsu kind of aspects of things. Your One Piece is a big adventure movie. Yusuke can get you into like more like ghost elements of things. And then Jotaro kind of puts you in that badass style. And then you just need some character who has dimension crossing abilities to like bring them together in some one big crazy event. So that's the one I go with there.
I'm thinking a little bit about it. Like, if you want to like do a, like kind of a direct analog sort of thing to Marvel, I think the Soul Society would work pretty well as your Asgard.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Have one of the Soul Reapers be the representative for Thor, and you know their excuse for not showing up to use their Bankai to fix everything is that they have to go deal with stuff in the afterlife because Yamamoto fucked things up again.
Let's genocide this group too.
Let's just kill them. I don't care. I immediately thought, Sugumi would be Black Widow. Because she kind of is already.
She is, honestly. Yeah, give her red hair.
I was trying to think of one that would work as Hulk, but a lot of Shonen characters would work as Hulk, so.
Yeah, there's a lot of, like, kind of.
The different degrees.
Yeah.
But it would be kind of, it would be a little bit difficult to, like, balance the power scale, but that's kind of the point of the way that Marvel's Avengers works anyway, is you got some that, like, you'll battle on the scale of gods, and then you've got, like, oh, I've got a bow and arrow. So.
You got fucking Daredevil who's getting his shit pushed in by like a hobo on the street.
I've got to learn how to fight with sticks now.
God damn it.
But yeah. Interesting question, but it take a long time to answer that in full. Okay, now we've got 3 emails in a row from Tropical Blitz. Let's take this in turns, I guess. Hello, Nick. I'm not a free man. I'm free, man. The ruler of time. Andrello, when you put a T next to my first name, it turns out to be very blasphemous. Very. Very, yes. Number one, Nick, obviously you were a big shot now having written 2 very successful articles on ANN, but I'm curious if you were the one who approached ANN with the offer to write them, or if they contacted you to write pieces on My Hero Academia and Bleach. Also, should we be expecting you to be a recurring guest writer on the site from now on? The way that came together was that Jacob literally just approached me at one point and was like, hey, we need someone to write this article about Bleach. We're looking to get someone who can, catch people up. The working title is Whatever Happened to Bleach, which is what ended up sticking anyway. And I was like, bash on Bleach for money? Sure. You had me at bash on Bleach. The My Hero article basically was because the Bleach article was pretty well received. So he just said, yeah, if you get any ideas for something you want to write in the future, just, hit us up. And the next time they checked in on me, I said, well, I've got this idea that has been kind of been sitting on them for something I've been noticing with the way that manga series focusing on superheroes tend to work versus how, we're doing superhero stuff over here. And so I could do an article about that. And he said, no, that sounds interesting. Do that. And I said, okay. In terms of if I'm going to be a recurring guest writer, I don't know. There might be opportunities in the future. The door is still open as far as I understand it. But it's not like a regular thing. You'll notice that like it's been about 6 months since the last article I wrote for them. And there were like 6 months between that and the previous one. So it's not going to be like this regularly scheduled thing if I do end up doing it. It was like spurts of inspiration that allowed me to write those articles to begin with. So.
I like to think that you're the Daniel Day-Lewis of recurring writers for ANN. Like you don't show up for fucking so long, but every time you come back, it's just gold. Every time you come back, you win a Peabody.
Yeah, thank you guys, all you guys who read those and said you liked it. Though it's really flattering whenever I do something like that and people like it. more flattery for the next question directed towards you, Chris.
Chris, you fat slob. Like, oh,
Chris, since you lost weight and rose to be a much hotter guy, do you feel like your standards on who to date have risen as well? I'm just laughing because of your stories about Tinder. I'm sorry.
Yeah, I'm like, ooh, I could date a movie poster character?
The
2 of them.
At once. The context that Tropical provides is that he has been losing weight as well, and it feels like my standard of living is making it hard to find anyone viable to go on dates with, given that a lot of single women in my area don't seem to be about living a healthy lifestyle. I don't know if it's me becoming a little snobbish and I need to learn to settle, or if it means I need to look elsewhere for potential partners. How do you deal with that? It's not too personal to ask.
No, that's a really good question. I think one thing to consider, it's not snobbish. I don't feel like it is.
No.
Having
standards is not snobbish. No.
Yes. I think once I did lose weight, I have looked at other people that I've seen that are not in a good, healthy lifestyle, and it does make me consider them in a different way. However, the thing to consider, this is a personal story I'll go into here. When I started losing weight, I was in a relationship with a girl, and she started dating me when I was, essentially 300 pounds and not exercising or eating right at all. Part of the reason I was exercising so much was to make myself better for her, because I knew that, I wasn't at the kind of fitness level or the physique or anything like that she liked, but she liked me for who I was beyond that. I just wanted to kind of appease everything I could. I wanted to be like, hey, she likes me for my personality, but I want her to like more as well. I feel like she deserves it. So I started putting in that effort. I feel like you have to consider that too when you're looking at people, that even if they might not be at the fitness level or whatever you're looking for now, understand that people can change in that way, and that you shouldn't just look for somebody who fits your physical ideal mold. You should look for somebody who you are compatible with. And if the physicality element comes into it later, that's something you can discuss. You can talk amongst yourselves. You can communicate and figure it out from there. But understand that you want to find somebody who you're happy with. And, something physical, things like that, losing weight, getting in shape, that's stuff that can change. So keep that in mind when looking at people.
All right. Question 3. You guys once floated the idea of a WMR plays, or at least trying something out with that, and I was wondering if you'd be willing to check out or receive recommendations if you are planning to do something game-related for mobile games. I know that there's a lot of crap in the iOS store, but there are a few hidden gems that do deserve a little recognition. I think you guys might enjoy them. I guess if we ever end up doing something like that we would probably be open to taking suggestions.
Yes. I do still want to do a WMR plays. It's just very difficult for us to find the time.
Mm-hmm.
We both work full-time jobs, so it's not always easy. Plus, we're getting caught reading fucking 30-volume-long series left and right. So I do legitimately want us to find the time to do it. I have a lot of game ideas. I don't know if we do iOS games, though. that seems like it.
That's a bit difficult. That requires certain that requires all sorts of weird technology in order to record that stuff.
Yeah, and those aren't... Those are very, 5 seconds of fun kind of games. So I do actually have a lot of ideas for games we could play, but it just comes to see when we'll have the time, basically.
Mm-hmm. All right, next email from Tropical.
Yes, sorry, let me go to this one. Hello, Chris. Those Rollo tea-flavored chocolates are amazing. Larios and Nick, why am I the ruler of time? No, seriously, I must know. I'm having an existential crisis right now. I must destroy everything, Freeman. Nick, did you make a mistake in miscrediting who the actual director of Grave of the Fireflies was, intentionally knowing that it would be a great joke given how much Miyazaki hates being mistaken for his longtime colleague and number two enemy, Isao Takahata? Or does your knowledge of Japanese directors seriously start with Hayao and end with Miyazaki?
It was a mistake when I made it in the moment. I think that as I was looking stuff up, I was like, oh, it's not Miyazaki. All right, it's not. But I didn't really care, because we weren't really talking about the movie at the time anyway.
No, yeah, so at that point, you could have been like
Michael
Bay.
So I did not care to correct myself at any point, basically. I realized that I was wrong, but I didn't give a shit.
Speaking of which, Miyazaki and Chris get into a race. Who do you think can outlast?
I love this question.
I don't quite get this one.
I love this question.
Chris is younger, has been running for years now, so that should give him the immediate advantage. When you factor in Miyazaki's hatred for mankind pushing his body's pad beyond its limits, it gets to them being even physically. I don't understand what that question is.
He's like starts falling behind, but as you start. But suddenly he gets a second win when he just goes, anime was a mistake.
Yeah, I'm just like, anime isn't really art, I say over my shoulder, just so I can get a competitive race out of him.
He'd be like, you're right. I hate those otaku.
Question three here. On a more serious note, Twitter question. Do you prefer if people following you would tweet any manga-related questions to your main handles or direct them to the @WMRpodcast instead and keep your feeds clean of those filthy plebeians who follow your awesome podcast?
Well, I don't have access to the WMR Podcast Twitter account. Chris runs that. So if you have questions for me, then you should direct them towards my account.
Yeah, I think if you have questions specifically for either one of us or like to the both of us, yeah, adding us specifically kind of helps. I just don't check the WMR Podcast Twitter ads as often as I check my own. It's like, you know, several times a day, but it's just not as often as I check my own Twitter, basically. So it helps if you send it that way, but, you know, doesn't necessarily matter. Eventually, we'll probably get to it. Just if you want a faster answer directly is the best way.
Right.
Question four. Obviously, you guys don't follow many people outside your circle of friends on Twitter. Sounds accusatory. Like, obviously you guys don't.
Not obviously.
But is there any mangaka or professional artist that you do follow outside of Steve Mann, I mean?
I mean, I follow a few other people, but almost everyone that I follow is someone I've met personally. The ones that I don't is like, okay, well, you know, there's like a podcast I listen to. There's a creator that I like. I follow them. And I follow like two or three celebrities, I guess. That's... And almost everyone else that I follow is just someone that I have met to some degree or another. So, there's not really any, like, artists. I mean, there's Nick Knoza. I follow him, even though he never tweets anything. I follow Master the Creator, who is the tag artist for Linkara, but I've actually met him. There are some artists that I do follow, but it's about it because I actually know them.
Yeah. Okay. I can see it. There's a lot of people that I follow that are, like, friends of mine, family, and then there's just a lot of people I follow because I just find, like, their tweets occasionally interesting. Like, I follow a bunch of Hearthstone players, I follow, I think, two different Wire Twitter quote accounts. I follow a lot of comedians, a couple companies, like the Conan O'Brien account I follow. I think I follow Borderlands for some reason still, just occasionally they tweet free keys and I get those.
Sweet.
So I have like a big group there, but I don't know if there's a couple people. I'm always kind of discovering new people, but yeah, I don't keep myself to any one restriction when it comes to follows. The only people I don't follow are like porn stars or things like that, just because I don't want somebody looking at my feed and being like, who I follow.
Oh, he follows Asa Akira.
Yeah.
Hey, she's made many mainstream appearances outside of her work.
Yeah. Oh, but he favorited all of her tweets about her porn movies. I'm like, well, all right. Come on.
I want to support what she's up to.
Yeah. I'm just hoping that we're going to get Blumpkins 12. So.
Blumpkins 12? No parody porn title is complete without an excessively high number attached to it.
Sorry, classy Blumpkins 12. Blumpkins, the series, is just garbage, but classy Blumpkins, they do it in a mansion. Man. It's a lot more.
They do all the same stuff, but they're wearing top hats and fake mustaches.
It's still blowjobs on the toilet, but... they're sophisticated in this version. Not like the disgusting...
They lift the pinky during the hand job.
Not that disgusting standard Blumpkins franchise.
Dollar store.
All right.
Why don't we make more porn jokes? Goddamn.
Last Twitter question here that's topical. A little bit on Twitter etiquette. Do you believe that people should be careful on what they retweet if they have a lot of followers? It's always something I'm conscious of and careful not to retweet. But I wonder if at times if I'm being a little too paranoid. Also, I don't follow back every person who follows me until I know who they are and how often they tweet. Is that
horrible? I mean, you do have to be careful about retweeting classy bump.
Yeah, you can't just be tweeting Asa Akira's fucking Bumpkin news scene because, you know, people are at work. They don't need to see that.
Oh,
man. To answer the second one real quick, the follow to follow back thing, I always found that to be like a weird... Like, I feel like that was, like, a YouTube thing. Like, subscribe, I'll subscribe back to you. Like, just that kind of thing you do when, I guess, you're starting out. Like, it's your tit-for-tat kind of thing. I'll tell you right now, I don't follow everybody who follows me. It's no offense. I don't...
Like, I don't want my Twitter stream to be a river of this.
Yeah, and honestly, there are even people, like, when you say, like, you know, careful to retweet or people you don't know what they tweet. There's people I follow because, like, you know, I want to show them, I support them, but I've muted them. Or I mute them for periods of time because I'm just like, there's just too much fucking volume from you or whatever. Right. Like, it happens at times. If people want to do the same for me because, like, I'm tired of all these fucking manga tweets on Wednesdays, that's perfectly fine, too. Twitter ultimately is something I use for my own convenience, so...
Yeah.
When I read my feed, I want to actually see the stuff I'm interested in. You know, I still want to show support in the way I can.
Yeah. And I have never... I don't believe in the follow-back courtesy thing. I just don't. I think that you should follow who you want to follow, basically. You know, if someone's following you and you don't really care to see what the hell every single thought that they have, then you don't need to follow them back. Honestly, it's not like Facebook where every single, you know, connection has to be mutual in order for it to be there at all.
Shockingly, people in the chat are trying to guess who I've muted. They're guessing Todd. That is the most incorrect thing ever. Every tweet from Todd is a glorious gift to man. So I am never muting that guy. I'll go back in time just to read tweets I may have missed while I was sleeping, because Todd is one of the best people you could follow on Twitter. I mean, yes, you had to get through a lot of dog pictures. But the stuff beyond that is almost gold every single
time. I love some of the stuff that he does, where he does, like, you know, the song versus song polls just to get people's opinion on, like, what, like, Jump versus Good Vibration.
Yeah.
Stuff like that. Yeah, no, he's one of my favorite people I follow, honestly.
Yeah, he's a great one. You got to get through the dog photos. They're great sometimes, too. They're funny.
Sometimes they can put you in a good mood, but yeah. Jesus Christ, he does a lot of them.
But again, it's part... I think I tweeted to him once. It was like, you've turned your Twitter account... Like, your Twitter account is the best thing out there. And he's like, he tweeted back to me, he was like, one day, all my videos will be gone, but this, my Twitter will be my legacy. And I'm like, it's true. This shit is fucking glorious. It's that thing that'll never, it'll never be appreciated as time. But fucking scholars, hundreds of years from now, will be talking about the comedic genius that is Todd in the Shadows Twitter account.
What's that one guy, Owen Ellickson? That I've discovered him because Patton Oswalt retweets him all the time. He does like a version of Trump's campaign. It's like the best take on all of the fucking campaigning going on right now. Mm-hmm. Twitter has been used for. It's weird how like a social media thing has been turned into art by some people.
You know what? One of my funnest thing is I like seeing, especially if you download everybody's tweets. Finding what people's first tweets are and trying to find how many of them aren't an ironic joke about how they finally have signed up to Twitter.
Mine definitely was.
Mine was. I was like, fine, Ozzy, I finally got a Twitter account. Happy? And I was like, oh, shit.
Oh, Ozzy.
I fucking love it. Every time I see one from somebody with their first tweets, like, finally getting one of these Twitter things and see what's up.
I think that mine was just a... Was just like, oh, fine, you assholes.
Yeah, it's always like some disgruntled thing, like, finally I'll catch up with the times to get a Twitter account.
Yeah.
But, yeah, that's the Twitter question.
It'd be interesting if somebody just appears and gives, like, this incredibly insightful, universal truth as their first tweet. Anyway, that was...
Fine, yeah, that was the two towers of tropical
blitz. Yeah, okay, emails. Time for Return of the Tropical. Hello, Nick. Why the Last Man versus the Ruler of Time, written and illustrated by Jack Kirby, edited by Stan Lee. And Chris, can you make roll O's out of T-bone steaks? Larios. Some questions for the next Q&A, whatever month this is. I think August, July, 2018. Oh, God. Question the first. Nick, you mentioned that your Full Metal Alchemist DVDs, along with your Yu-Gi-Oh cards, were stolen. Now that the new limited edition Full Metal Alchemist Blu-ray set is announced with the replica of the Gate of Truth as the case holder of the discs, will you be getting that to replace your missing set? No. The Full Metal Alchemist DVDs were a gift. I never watched them. Also, did you find out who stole them? I've held suspicions, but, I mean, when we called the police about the break-in, the guy said, you know, almost all the time, we never catch the guy. Because, I mean, like, there were no cameras around the apartment complex. There was no obvious indication of who had actually gone in. I've always suspected that it was one of my dickhole roommates that moved out when I didn't move out. And I did actually find a pair of sunglasses that had been left behind by seemingly whoever broke into my room. Never found out who did it. I mean, I lost a few $100 worth of stuff. And the thing that I am still the most broken up about is the fact that I had my deck stolen, my Yu-Gi-Oh deck.
It's such like a fucking Kaiba thing to do. Like, oh, my deck.
Yeah.
But the shame of that is that even if they did find out who it is, it's really hard to get anything back then.
Because they would just resell it immediately.
Yeah, and you have to, even if they had it, then you had to prove it's yours. This is actually a really good tip, just in case you guys don't know. If you have anything like a console or an electronic of any kind, keep the packaging it comes in, because that has the serial number on it. Ooh. So if you ever have something stolen from you, you find out who stole it, and you can show that you have the box with the serial number on it and match it, you can get it back then. Like, that's a good way to get something back if you find out someone has stolen it.
Real life tips from Weekly Manga Recap.
Yeah.
Question duos. Chris, you once said that you got so upset you wanted to shout at the person who kept on sending individual suggestions through email and keeping forcing the notification on your phone to go crazy. Did you find out who's in need of a spanking for sending so many emails all at once?
That's insulting there. I don't think I did, but I don't think they kept sending emails. Either that or they got caught in the spam filter and it just got lost forever. But I think they stopped sending an email for every suggestion one by one. I think eventually they worked through the 85 suggestions they wanted to send us and they stopped.
Question the third. This is a question on sending suggestions, but do you guys prefer sending in a detailed description of the series alongside a personalized recommendation in the email, or do you prefer if it was just a simple series name with no fancy format? And there's a second part to this, but I'll go ahead and say, I don't care too much. I think that if you give a little bit of a pitch to a manga, then it can't hurt its chances of it catching our attention.
I think it helps, because I think my mind easily sees, like, generic body text for a description, and it's a little less interesting to me, but rather, I'm more interested to hear what people think about the series. Because a lot of times people send us something, and I don't know what they really... Like, it helps if I know why you're sending it. If you're like,
right,
this is a crazy romance series, it just goes, like, weird places. You're like, this is my favorite manga of all time, I love these aspects about it. It helps put a context to it, too. Because then I also know what your thoughts are on ours, so I can go into the series with that, too. So,
right. Or if you say, like, this is a bad manga, if you want to, you know, if you want to cover a bad manga at some point.
Or if you just really want to, like, throw out, like, this is this thing, if you were to, like, describe Crimson's to me. Like, if I just read the description, I'd be like, huh. But if you sold it, you're like, it's this weird shonen adventure series that's portrayed the salmon spawning ritual, and it plays every trope to the extreme with fish. Like, that's what would sell me a lot more.
Also, do you prefer if the number of manga recommended was limited to one per email, or are adding in a few all right? I mean, don't go crazy with it, I guess. I think that if you, you know, suggest, like, 10 in one go, then that kind of individually hurts the chances of some of them. If you go, you know, a few, then that's better than sending one suggestion in an email, then another email with a suggestion, then another email with a suggestion. Mm-hmm. Like Chris just said, don't do that.
Yeah.
Question Yun. Nick mentioned that it is always best to keep on reminding you guys by keeping on sending the same recommendation after some time has passed. Do manga that keep on popping up as recommendations from the same people get more attention, or do you prefer it when the recommendation comes from newer senders? If a series gets recommended by multiple people, then that tends to get my attention more than if one person's recommending it over and over. Yeah. I'll say that much.
And also, again, when it comes to, like, getting it at the time, it's just what, in that moment, I think we're most interested in reading next. Mm-hmm. So if someone's been sending in a sports manga request over and over, it doesn't necessarily mean the next time they send in it has a better or worse chance. It just means, hey, in this time, I think a sports manga would be really interesting. Oh, this one is someone's, I think they've sent in a couple times. Yeah, let's try that. You know, that's sort of the process.
Right. And question V. Have either of you ever been contacted to be a guest on another podcast? And somewhat related to that, How does getting guests go on the podcast? Does it ever end badly? I appeared on another podcast a few years ago. I don't get asked to do it particularly often, though. We're not insanely huge yet. I'm sure that there will be people chomping at the bit to get either of us on their podcast to help give them a WMR boost. Yeah. But
I've been slowly trying to work in with the woodworkers. Like, hey, guys, you need any manga opinions on your show?
Paper comes from trees.
we could make a birdhouse out of manga. How about that? I actually was on Austin Yorski, who some of you might remember from Blistered Thumbs. He was a writer on there. I was on his gaming podcast, actually, I think maybe like 2 months ago. Game Crunk, I believe, is the title. Some of you also might know him from Word Funk and Dice Funk. I was on his episode, or his show, not too long ago. You can check it out. It's actually a fun episode, 90% Mouth. But no, I'm definitely interested in doing more podcasts. Just people have to kind of suggest them. As for getting guests, it's something, recently it's not been too hard because a lot of the people we've had on as guests have been people we kind of already knew, especially when it came to like Channel Awesome. Those were connections we already had. So like Jacob, Suede, Benzai, thing, like people like that we already kind of know, and it's something I can just ask them kind of through Twitter.
Way back in the day when we got Kerber Ferran to talk about Bakuman.
Yeah. It's just something I can ask them via basically Skype. Be like, hey, you're interested in coming on? I'm starting to try to branch that out, obviously. Like Annalise, somebody we just asked on the show, became friends with her. I tried asking recently, I'm going to mix up his real name with his wrestler name. Martellus, no, is that
Marcellus Black is his wrestler name, okay. Or was. I'm not sure if he's going to keep it.
It's Brennan. Brennan Williams, that's the real name. Okay, I was mixing it up with the, because he goes by the Great Black Otaku, and he also went by the Shogun, but then he also had Martellus, which was his wrestler's fake name, his fake wrestler's fake name, and then Brendan Williams is the actual guy. Okay. I recently asked Brendan Williams if he wanted to be on the show, long way, that way. He said he was interested, but that was before he got picked up by the WWE, so I don't know if, you know, if it's still going to be possible, but there's people. I'll tell you this, if there's, and we've gotten requests from people saying like, oh, you guys should be on this podcast, or you guys should have this person on your podcast. The best way to facilitate that happening is if you, the listeners, are actually mentioning those people, that they have like a Twitter account, tweet at them saying, hey, I think you'd be great on this podcast, or you should really check out this podcast, because a lot of the times, that's how they gauge interest. Like, that's how they can tell, like, oh, this is something I should, you know, actually, you know, actually there's people who want me on there. And that also helps us identify, oh, this person might be a good guest for the show. So that's, if there's somebody you really like, you know, I'm not saying everybody listening right now tweet at Brennan Williams and say you should do WMR. I'm just saying, no, legitimately though, if there's somebody you think would be really good for the show, like saying a tweet to them, and if you want to put us in it, like add us as well. It's a great way to kind of draw attention to it.
Yeah.
But yeah, there are a lot of people we really want to get in the show, and we're working on things behind the scenes as we can to try to get more and diverse, interesting guests on the show.
And in terms of the last part of the question, has it ever gone badly? I think the worst it's ever gone is, sorry, no, I can't make it.
I think the worst, the worst answer I ever got was the editor for US's One Piece was like, I only have time to do one podcast a week, and that's the Shonen Jump podcast, unfortunately. And it's just like, yeah, I understand. You're very busy, so.
No one has ever contacted us and said, I hate what you do, and you deserve to die, or anything like
that. Yeah, they're like, why don't you just disappear forever? I'm like, oh, okay. Well, that's fair enough. Bye.
Okay. Now for our non-tropical questions.
Yeah. This is a question here from Now4. Dear Rolo Chris and Nick Time. Here's my first one. The two manga that you two rant about in your show the most are Bleach and Fairy Tail, particularly moments when they have one of their big dramatic moments of reveal. In fact, you say they are such Kubo moments or Fairy Tail moments. So my question is, what kind of moments anger you or upset you more? Which of the two just exasperates you more?
Bleach moments definitely would anger me more. But from the very first time that we, you know, that we had our Fairy Tail podcast, I shared my thoughts on it, which was just, it's so stupid, I don't care. I don't care when stuff goes badly in Fairy Tail. Occasionally it will actually disappoint me because, you know, I kind of fool myself, you know, in one chapter I'll be like, oh, this could be really cool, and then the next one it all comes crashing back down to earth. So yeah, there. Whenever Fairy Tail does something stupid, it's just like, no, it's Fairy Tail, whatever. Mm-hmm. But Bleach has angered me for the last 6 years or so, so that one's definitely more negative feeling.
Yeah, I think for me it's the same reasoning, but the inverse. I didn't have as strong of a feeling towards Bleach and kind of gave up on it after a while. But with Fairy Tail, it just annoys me so much more because it's like, God, I fucking hate Heroes so much with this series. All right, next question.
Okay, next is from Michael Hurt. Jeez. Hey, Chris, just roloting with the punches, though hoping on giving, not receiving. And Nick, why am I the ruler of time? Because it's because I'm into timeology, which as is an in-joke neither me nor Chris have any idea about, but guess you still got one of us to use that word, Freeman. Well, I guess you did. Number one, if Nick hasn't seen Civil War at this point, this question was answered, which seems unlikely. You can skip it. If you both have seen it, this is, since this is obviously a movie which focuses on the collateral damage and loss and how that shapes heroes like Tony, villains like Zemo, and even the Alfred Woodard bystanders in between, do you think this is an issue shonen manga should tackle more, or would it not make sense for them to cover it? I don't know. That's an interesting question. I think that it doesn't really fit with the shonen kind of thing too often, though.
It's sort of kind of contingent on, I think, it's not exclusively limited to, but I think it falls a bit more into superhero genre kind of stories. Stories of characters who have power in a city full of normal people, because that's when collateral damage kind of is like a byproduct of characters being awesome. Sentai could also have this too. Any kind of series where like giant robots or something are suddenly spawned into town. But, like, when it comes to, like, the series currently running in Jump, I don't think they would apply to anything except for My Hero, and My Hero has actually established how they handle cleanups and things like that, and collateral mm-hmm. damage. So, I do think a Civil War scenario could come up in My Hero. I don't think, though, it would necessarily follow how, like, is like they did it in Civil War, like a Sokovian Accords, because they actually have an established system to deal with that already. Like, the Sokovian Accords essentially have already taken place in My Hero.
All the heroes in My Hero Academy would be pro-registration because they are registered. Also, we're getting some stuff with Deku, not in terms of collateral damage, but in terms of dealing with his inability to protect people and wanting to improve himself. So, and maybe not in the exact same way that Civil War will cover it, but, yeah, I mean, they are definitely addressing the problem of, you know, heroes are supposed to protect people, and what happens when people get hurt because heroes weren't properly protecting them? Well, they've got to get better. They've got to be able to protect people. Number two, in the latest One Piece arc, which I assume you guys would still be into something months or so after I post this question, it's revealed that Toland is made of 34 themed towns throughout. If each of you was mayor of one of these towns, Chris, obviously, in charge of Honey Mustardville, and Nick of Brown Sugar Pop-Tart City, and we're allowed to make up rules to govern how the citizens are going to interact with the food, what sort of bylaws would you create? I would not be able to get anything done.
You'd just be eating Pop-Tarts.
Just be like, bring me more! Sir, we need to make houses out of that. Why?
They're delicious.
You're supposed to eat them! How are we ever going to make all of our proper constructs if we can't toast them, though?
They're like, it's so cold, nothing's fusing together, there's no adhesive to this.
I mean, I guess if you're... Okay, look, you can take the expired ones and toast them if you need to.
They're like, oh, we have to live in rotten food?
Yes.
So saith Mayor Nick. I actually made the Ten Commandments of my monster.
Okay.
Commandment one, thou shalt have no other dressing or condiment besides honey mustard.
That's a good place to start, okay.
Commandment two, thou shalt not create fake or poor substitutes for honey mustard.
So it can't be artificial honey mustard. Yes.
Commandment three, thou shalt not take the holy name of honey mustard in vain.
Ah, what the honey mustard?
Exactly, none of that in my town.
Honey mustard you.
Commandment four, keep holy the Sabbath day of honey mustard. dot, 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 which is, which okay. is every day.
Chris, you're the one of us who went to Sunday school and, or whatever the fuck you did. Are these based on the actual
Ten Commandments? Yes. The original Ten Commandments are honor God, honor God's day, honor God's name. So I based the first ones off the original Ten Commandments. Commandment 5. Honor the lessons of honey mustard passed down to you by your family, for their wisdom eclipses your own. Also another real Ten Commandment of honor thy father and mother. Thou shalt not kill over honey mustard. There is plenty to go around. Seriously, the town is made of it. Commandment 7. Thou shalt not gather together large globules of honey mustard and treat it like a girlfriend.
Or boyfriend.
Yeah, or either way, I'm just saying I think I know which person's going to have to do it and, you know, making it clear for them. Thou shalt not steal honey mustard. Seriously, get a job, you jerk. We're in a mustard-based economy. Commandment 9. Thou shalt not dismiss anyone's claim of honey mustard being great on something without trying it first themselves. Reserve your uninformed opinions for movie reviews and political debates with strangers. And Commandment 10. We should probably have a police or something. Witness my commandments.
Witness my 15 10 commandments.
Oops.
I love it. That's good stuff. Damn. Number 3. Oh, fuck.
I actually have a real quick answer for this one, too.
Okay. Of the series you're currently covering in WMR, if a character from one series made its way to another, what do you think would be the worst possible fit? For example, Asta being in World Trigger, as fights there require strategy and taking time and going through loads of failure to get better, and not just instantly having the weapon on hand or being able to just randomly come up with a weapon to counter something.
Toriko would be awful in Food Wars because
he
loves everything. He doesn't shit on any food. Like he couldn't pick winners. He'd be like, "This is great, but this is really great too." Oh, they're everything about this is
Toriko as a judge in Shokugeki no Sama. Yeah. Good enough for me.
All right. Question here. There is no name here. Hi, rolling around at the speed of sound. And got why
stick to go? Routine. Got to follow my vibe.
Yeah, my five ruler time bow. Let someone make a whole song out of that. If you could make the world look like any manga style, which artist would you choose? You could turn it on and off.
That's an interesting question. So basically, you just enjoy the world in any art style whenever you want to.
Yeah. I think maybe I'd like then Horikoshi, I think. He's got a really, like, great style, but it's also fantasy. I think it looks fantastic and different than reality. So I think that'd be a really interesting world. I'll do the next question, too, by the way, because...
That was a short one.
Yeah. Question here. Dear, why the ruler of the Loud House and Nikki, Ricky, Dicky, and Dawn T? I've been watching the Funimation dub of One Piece. I got a couple questions. One, do you own any One Piece DVDs?
No.
I own the War Z, and I did at one point, and I still might, it might be in the basement somewhere, own the Alabast DVD. I think it was movie 8, where they essentially just made Alabasta into a single movie by cutting out a lot.
Oh, they're kids' sitcoms.
Ah, okay.
Nikki, Ricky, Dicky, and Don is an American television sitcom produced by Nickelodeon.
I've not heard of that. Might be.
So I was looking at Loud House, and I was like, what the fuck is all this?
Question 2. What would you consider the greatest sin the four kids One Piece dub did?
Well, they did erase the entire Laboon thing.
I can forgive a lot of things that it did. Like, a lot of it I just look at it and I'm like, that's just stupid. But the one that's actually, I think, like, irreparably damaging is Nami's mother being in a dungeon instead of being killed. Because that completely alters Nami's character if that's the case. Like, a lot of her, like, character is based on the fact that she was put into a situation where she had no hope. It was just, I hope I can get enough money to save my village. And she had to become a hardened person because of that.
And I guess after they beat Arlong, then she got released.
Yeah, she just got released and Nami, like, just stopped... Didn't say goodbye or anything.
Didn't
like
talk
that.
To her. I'm just like, kind of left.
Like, that's actually a pretty damning thing about her character if you have her mom still be alive. Question 3. Irrelevant question. It's like we ever get those. But what is your favorite Power Ranger season?
I'm not really sure. I can tell you that when I stopped watching Power Rangers, it was around Lightspeed Rescue, and I did start watching it again when I caught some of Time Force, and that got me to watch that season at least. So I think that that says something of it that, you know, I got older and more cynical, but I still went back and watched one series all the way through like that.
For me, I think it might be SPD. That's like, I guess it's one of the few I've actually watched all of, but I really enjoyed it. It had surprisingly good acting for a Power Rangers series, and I just remember being like, it's solid all the way through, but a lot of them are pretty good. I just never seen, I think, the ones people consider the best. Like, I never seen In Space or anything like that.
I watched all of them through, Lost Galaxy, and then I quit, during the whole Titanium Ranger thing and Lightspeed Rescue. Just wasn't really enjoying it. Ever since Linkara did his one on RPM, I've been meaning to try watching it because he made it out to seem like it was really good.
I've heard it's good. That was like one of the things, because I used to spend a lot of time on TV Tropes, and I remember that always coming up on TV Tropes, is the RPM was really good, really well done. It used flashbacks effectively, like Lost, and all you had to do was say something's like Lost to get me immediately interested.
But, I mean, you know, to go through a Power Rangers series, like, Jesus Christ, well, do we have time to watch 40 episodes?
Yeah.
So it's just one of those things that I've been meaning to get around to, and I'm sure I will eventually one day.
Also, do I watch this series and have it ever come out to my brother, like, oh, you watched all of Power Rangers Wild Force, but you couldn't finish Deadwood? And I'm like, oh, God.
You watched all of the Power Rangers Wild Force, but you didn't finish Deadwood? What's wrong with you, Chris?
You watched the first episode of Deadwood, and you didn't continue. What's wrong with you?
It's so engaging. Such great dialogue.
It's got Schrodinger in it. How do you not love him? He shit all over Game of Thrones. It's brilliant. Swearinger is the best.
All right, moving on.
The principal. The Breakfast Club. He's in the movie.
From Jonah Bacon-Lefkowitz. Dear Nick, I'll heal you with my laser eyes. And Chris, dear God, Nick, your laser eyes don't heal people. They just burn. Dear God, do they burn. I have a serious question and a wacky one. For the serious question, who are your favorite characters from each of the series you cover in the recap? To be clear, least... This is weird, because it starts off with who are your favorite characters, but then goes on to clarify what least favorite means. I guess that you meant least favorite characters from each series.
Oh. Cool.
Which is going to drastically affect our answers, I guess.
Yeah, I put down my favorite characters. I'm like, well, let me tell you...
Good job.
On the inverse, what I mean...
Currently it's definitely Asta for Black Clover. I say it every time it seems like we talk about Black Clover. It's just like, God, I fucking hate this kid.
I think it's Charmy.
But honestly, I think that actually it's probably going to be Yuno though.
Yeah.
Because he's made out to be this really big deal rival character and it just doesn't feel like there's anything to him. Asta at least get what the point is, but Yuno is just, how is he supposed to be the super important big rival? He doesn't... He seems like a robot.
Yeah, no, I completely understand it.
Bleach,
let's skip Bleach. Bleach is out of the recap. We're not doing it anymore.
Fairy Tail.
Urza, I guess.
Just getting frustrated with her. Food Wars.
I don't care for Aldini that much. Like, I think he, like, so much just had, like, encountered so many more interesting rivals that, like, Aldini being, like, his, I guess, like, closest rival was something that I've just always been like, eh. Like, again, he's not bad. I just don't. Like, I anytime he gets focused, I'm like, why don't you just give this to Alice or Kurokiba or Hayama or, you know, any of the countless other people he's, you know, been rivals with.
I'm going to say Yoshino for Food Wars, Bunhead Girl.
Okay.
Because
I was like,
it's just there to be weird.
Yeah.
Okay, My Hero Academia.
I've actually started to grow to dislike Mineta. He's gotten really perverted and creepy, like to the point where I'm like, someone should call the police on you.
He needs guidance, Johnson.
You're starting to cross a line to where you're going to, like, in a couple years, you're going to be posting on the R incel fucking that fucking subreddit that's just a bunch of people being like, you know, women just hate us all, right?
I can't hate Mineta because he's Stone Cold. Yeah. So.
Stone Cold Mineta's cool. Classic voice Mineta's a little rough.
Mineta 360 says, I just saw your panties. Oh, God. That's a difficult one. Because, I'm getting frustrated with Uraraka. I have to admit, it's starting to build up for me. Like, and the more people's comment, I was like, God, they're getting frustrated with her, the more I'm seeing it. I have faith, though, that she's going to break through that. But I guess I'm just kind of going through a little bit of a downturn for her right now.
Yeah.
Okay. My Hero, we did that. One Piece. Oh, there's so many characters in One Piece, though.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of minor ones I think I'm not really caring too much for.
Mm-hmm.
There was one, I can't even remember, Senzeimaru, I believe his name was. He was the dude who showed up with the axe during Shanabody Archipelago. And I was always just like, what a, like, boring character to show up here. Like, he just was an uninteresting presence in that, like, really exciting arc. But he's so minor, I don't even know if you could count him. And again, it's like he's my, like, I hate him when he shows up or anything like that. I just didn't think he was that interesting in that moment.
Mm-hmm. Or Goku, we just say Coco.
Yeah, the Coco.
Coco. And World Trigger. Oh, man.
I don't think I actually
hate... Do we have, like...
Oh, no, Katori. Katori 8.
We have an emo coming up that goes on a long diatribe defending Katori. I'm gonna...
No, that one got lost forever. Sorry.
Never gonna read that one. Sorry. Yeah. Wacky question. This one's a doozy. Okay, I'm going to read this as quickly as possible, but there's a lot of detail, so bear with me. Nick, the Prince of Pop-Tarts, and Chris, the Hung Daddy of Honey Mustard, face off in the Shokugeki, but something's wrong. Not only does Chris open his fridge to find that there's no honey mustard, but the theme of Shokugeki isn't an ingredient, but the concept of heat. What will happen now that Chris doesn't have a signature ingredient, and Nick will have to heat his Pop-Tarts in some way, or else he'll be disqualified? Also, just for lols, the judges are Gremmy, the perverted photo booth robot, who I guess for the sake of this joke has a mouth and taste buds, and that creepy teddy bear Digimon with laser eyes. Thank God you include that last bit, because Monzaimon obviously just blasted him with his laser eyes.
Yeah, he just killed us all.
Don't have to consider anything else. Just laser. Oh, I'm looking forward to tasting your dishes. Laser eyes.
This ingredient is going to be really challenging. Laser eyes for you all.
Laser. Let me help you eat your dish. Laser eyes.
Laser eyes of encouragement.
Anyway, from Jack Lebrano.
Yes, questions here from Jack Lebrano. Dear Gordon Freeman's lesser known and nerdier nephew, and Chris Larry O's, part of his complete purpose. All Might, at the time of writing this, All Might has just beaten One for All, didn't die, and All for One was set for jail. Sorry, All Might. And I have no idea what's going to happen. I think this is great. But seeing that asking you two what the next arc is going to be after this is all being pointless, I'll ask instead, how do you think this current arc will end, and how do you want it to end?
I feel like a fair number of UA students are going to fail.
I think it almost has to, because it's not something, it's not a do and you're done sort of thing. You can just, it's like the tuning exam, like you can just apply for it next year.
And they've established that, you know, sometimes, you know, students in the class just need some extra lessons, like they did that with Ashido and Kirishima and stuff. Yeah, I think that some of the students are just going to fail just as a result of there are 20 of them and there's, you know, only 100 spots for all the students to go around. I think that it would take a lot for them to actually manage to pull it out. I'm sure that some students are going to be okay. Like, I'm sure Bakugo's going to be fine, Deku will be fine, Todoroki's going to be fine. But I think that some of the students just aren't going to be ready for them to become licensed heroes yet. So I think that some are just going to fail.
Yes. Next question here. Seeing that My Hero is being seen as a new Naruto in terms of popularity, although I would love for this story to last, I also know that being the new Naruto would come with a lot of fatigue, as Naruto got really bad in its autumn years. If Horikoshi had to extend his series, what choices should he make to avoid having the same fate as Naruto and having to invent his equivalent to Kaguya in his final arc?
I mean, I have no idea. Like, My Hero seems like a very differently paced series than Naruto does, though, to me.
Mm-hmm. I mean, so, we're still essentially in what would be considered My Hero's first big saga, I guess you could say, because this has sort of been teased sort of since the first attack on UA, with the whole Shigaraki and then leading into All for One kind of thing. So we're still on that, and after that's done, I mean, you could even just take cues from how comic books have stayed in business for a while. You could do something like a Civil War take-up time. You bring in galactic threats. You introduce a whole new way people get powers and have a conflict with them. You introduce another villain group. You know, you can find ways to extend it. Just don't fucking invent them like a mystical god out of, like, the last 20 chapters and have her have an acid dimension she doesn't send people into.
Alright, next up, hello, Y-Roller of Pun and Chris Punty. I've recently seen some of the German dub of Naruto. It featured such gems as Zabuza's blade getting edited out, Itachi hiding the Uchiha away, and Gaara sending people to the sand dimension. So what are the most ridiculous instances of censorship you guys have seen? Oh man, there are.
this is one I found funny because my brother.
This is a good question though. I like this.
Yes, I like this one. This is one my brother pointed out to me. I was playing a One Piece game on the PS2. He was watching. He doesn't know anything about it. And this was where they had a lot of like the dub changes put in. So I was explaining to him like, yeah, this guy's name normally is Smoker. And he has smoke related powers. He chews on these cigars. But they changed. They got rid of the cigars and this. The smoke just comes out of his nest, and they changed his name to Chaser. My brother's like, they changed his name to Chaser? I was like, why? I was like, well, because Smoker kind of is, you know, could be risky. He's like, so they changed it from Smoker to the name of what you use to chase liquor with. To cut, like, it's still, like, it's not a, it's still something that's kind of suggestive. I was like, oh, yeah, it is kind of fucked up. Why didn't they just call him Chase? Like, why did they add the ER at the end and no one in the room was like, that's still kind of an adult reference, don't you think? I'm sure in their mind it's just the innocent, like, he's a chaser.
He chases after people, right?
Yeah, but it's also his name. But it is like, yeah, it is kind of fucked up when you think about it.
I mean, if he's going to have smoke-based powers anyway, you could just still call him Smoker.
Yeah, but...
Or Smokey. I don't know.
I guess they didn't want that.
I mean, there's all the obvious violence examples you could talk about. Whenever Fork has got their hands on anything, they would, of course, need to remove all instances of death. But even, you know, outside of them... Ocean's dub of Dragon Ball Z has every time someone's going to die, they just go to the next dimension instead. You got the Home for Infinite Losers in there. You got Chiaotzu blowing himself up in order to try to send Nappa to the next dimension.
I always loved Yu-Gi-Oh! And the various ways to justify Shadow Worlds. Like, this buzzsaw will send you into the Shadow Realm, Yuki!
That's got to be the most ridiculous example, where they just, you know, turned a buzzsaw that would have cut your legs off into, it will teleport you to the Shadow Realm!
It was that and the...
There's a trap door underneath you that will cause you to fall into the Shadow Realm!
The tag team duel on the windows, because not only did it fucking sound stupid when you heard it, but the one dude falls through and he has a parachute, so obviously he just parachuted to safety out of falling into the Shadow Realm.
Oh, God. But my favorite examples of dub changes, this isn't really a censorship, are the ones that obviously come from a place of obsession with, we can't let the little kids get confused by not knowing what country they're in. They've got to think that they're taking place in America because we want our kids to be nationalist and xenophobic. So, rice balls, no, they're jelly donuts. So we've got to carefully Americanize all the food that the characters eat and stuff. And whenever things happen, it's in America. It's like, what? Why do you care?
That is, baby.
Why do you care?
Jelly Donut is a great one.
Oh, man.
All right. Next questions here from the...
I'm going to run off and grab some water real quick, sure. But I'll be right.
Questions from the Dark Mite. Greetings, Chris. Yes, I bathe in honey mustard. Don't judge me, and I won't judge you. T and Y. I actually double majored, so I am both the ruler of time and space, plus a major in English. It is I, Dark Might, the Monarch of Miracle Whip, back with you again with more questions from my favorite two podcast hosts. First off, great news for Nick. I don't have any relationship problems for you guys to help with this time. Thanks to you guys, my girlfriend and I would now watch Full Metal Alchemist Brotherhood while eating sandwiches with mayo, not Miracle Whip on them. Truly, your expert relationship advice has given us the best compromise. I feel like we need to become more of a relationship advice and life advice podcast, particularly in these Q&A. So send all of your relationship questions and and personal help questions to us, because we're clearly two guys who have all of our shit together. Questions, though. Number one, are there any currently running series in Shonen Jump that either of you would want taken out of the magazine right now in hopes that a better series would replace it? I can't speak for Nick. I myself personally don't have any that I would. I mean, maybe you could say like Black Clover, but I don't hate Black Clover enough to take it out of the magazine to hope for something better. Black Clover is good enough for me. I think the magazine as it is right now is really good.
There are no series in Jump right now that I would definitely have a series that I would definitely say, oh, get rid of that shit.
Yeah. Date, marry, and kill any of the Council of Ten members of Food Wars.
Okay, first off, keep in mind that all of them are 18 or younger. So this is going to be a little weird to answer. I don't know if I hate any of the Council of Ten enough to want to kill them.
I got my...
I guess Azon.
I see. Know. I would date Azon, because that's a free dinner. Because he's wealthy, he's going to throw it around at least for once. I'm going to marry Arina, because that's marrying into wealth. Like, that's a good family. You're taking care of her family.
And she's a good person.
Who fucking cares? Her dad's going to pay for the wedding, so that's all covered. Like, that.
Are you sure about that?
Her family will pay for her grandfather will pay for the wedding.
Okay, fair enough.
And then, I don't know, maybe a tryst with her super hot cousin. Anyway, and then I would kill. I would kill Hayama because fuck him. You broke my goddamn heart, Hayama.
Wah, Hayama, wah!
You broke my heart.
I almost feel like I would go with Rindo for date. She seems like she would be fun to hang around with for a little bit, but she would probably be infuriating to hang out with for too long.
Yeah, she'd be a good date answer, yeah. All right.
And for the merry one, they're all children.
I assume it's one of those like weird child marriages, like we're married now, but we don't actually.
Or
do
for
anything.
Some reason, we are the same age somehow. In which case, I guess I would go with Arina. I think that she would be the most compatible with me, just because all the others are such weirdos. I ain't gonna marry Kuga, I'll tell you that.
You don't want him like karate chopping fucking spices into your face at night. Question.
Like, now do something for me so that then I can beat you in a shogeki and get my position back.
In a battle of the brains, who would win in a fight to the death? Gremmy from Bleach or Mojo Dojo and from Powerpuff Girls?
Is this even a question? Mojo?
Yeah, Gremmy's too boring.
Gremmy literally imagined himself to death.
Question four. In the past, you brought up needing or having consultants for informing you on things you lack knowledge on. So I come to you both asking if you would like to have a DC Comics consultant. I can answer all those.
That's necessary.
I can answer all those burning questions that don't really get asked on WMR because you guys are more Marvel fans. Stuff like, is Joker really an immortal god of chaos? And are there Marvel analog worlds in the DC universe?
Last I heard, there were three Jokers.
Are there?
That was the big reveal for, like, Batman got the chair that gives you infinite knowledge, and he asked it who the Joker was, and it was like, there are three Jokers.
That's fucking, one, why is there a chair of infinite knowledge?
I don't know. It's a god thing, you know.
What's that fucking, alright, you know what, maybe we do need a DC Comics consultant, because this also asks a question I got bothered with. What's that fucking wall of faces that Lex Luthor goes up to at the end of the Justice League cartoon? Like, he has to fucking figure out, like, all the knowledge of something, so he goes up to this big, giant wall.
I don't even remember what the fuck that is.
It's like a wall of faces in space, and he, like, gives him the knowledge he needs to help defeat Darkseid, basically.
God damn it, Jack Kirby.
It's really weird shit. So maybe we do. The last one's not a question, but he just wants to say that even as a non-wrestling fan slash viewer, he really likes listening to us go on wrestling tangents, because it always sounds very amusing. So
good, because we're not going to stop.
Never.
Next up, dear Y, the ruler of Star Wars Rogue One and Star Trek Beyond Tea. Heard you guys enjoy mystery games, and I'm curious if you've ever heard of Danganronpa. It was super fun and dramatic, and has a lot of fun interacting, colorful, wacky characters. I have heard about it, but never played or watched anything associated with it.
I've watched Sean play a little bit of it. I'm a huge Phoenix Wright fan, so you'd think it'd be right up my alley, but it was the most depressing shit I had seen. Like, it just, I don't know why it set me, because like, the thing with Phoenix Wright, even though almost every case in Phoenix Wright, and I think actually every case eventually becomes a murder, like, the people who die, you're kind of distanced from that a lot, and you have a lot of fun,
lighthearted
characters. Yeah, but even then, there's still a lot of silliness in the characters around it, so it doesn't hit as hard. But with Danganronpa, not only are the victims all classmates you've done other cases with, like friends of yours, but all the killers are also classmates of yours, and at the end, that fucking evil teddy bear kills them. Like, it's just like, I don't know, it was just weird and depressing to me. Like, it was like, oh, like, every character I'm with is dying around me. Like, just watching Sean play it, I was like, I don't think I'd enjoy this. I think it's just like, Attack on Titan. It's something that I can recognize as really well written. It's just, for some reason, it sets off something in me that just puts me in a bad place I don't like to be in. So, I'm not probably going to check it out.
I'll ask the next question that's also from him. Deadpool, the Ruler of Time, and X-Men Apocalypse T. I've been following Nick on Twitter, and I heard his thoughts on The Descendants, and I'm eager to know what other Disney Channel stuff you guys watch. Like, do you watch Liv and Maddie, Jesse, or Bunked? No. The last Disney Channel thing, aside from when I was at 5 a.m., was just like, I'll watch The Descendants and tweet about it because I'm morbidly curious. The most recent thing I think that I watched from them was Phineas and Ferb. And I think all of their animated stuff goes on Disney XD now anyway. I did used to watch more Disney Channel stuff when I was younger. And not even too much younger. Like, when I was, you know, in high school, like, I watched a little bit of Suite Life of Zack and Cody. Before that, there was Kim Possible's on that channel. I did watch some of their original movies, in fact. I've got some nostalgic stuff associated with some of the better ones, or at least what I feel are the better ones. But it's been a long time since I've watched any of that stuff.
I've never watched any Disney Channel stuff. It wasn't really where I went to in my house.
You had the Nickelodeon.
Yeah. Cartoon Network then, too.
Mm-hmm.
Questions here from...
Ginger Strahat.
Ginger Strahat, there we go. Dear Time Roller of Y Nick and T Rolo Chris. Chris, question one, you said in the past you felt like the best arcs in Shonen is the Zabuza arc for Naruto for many different reasons. I personally have the equivalent of Arlong arc from One Piece. Would you agree with me that it's one of the best, or do you think otherwise? No, I firmly think the Arlong arc piece in One Piece is not only one of, like, a really great arc in One Piece, I think it's one of its best. It's where I suggest people who want to start with One Piece actually start at. Because it's where you get the best idea of what that series can be. It's epic, it's personal, it's exciting, it's full of great fights, everyone gets to do something, there's character development, it's got a really, you know, engaging and scary antagonist. It's what got me into the series, ultimately, so I highly recommend it.
Not me, though. Okay. I need dinosaurs to come in.
Another for Chris, you said in your past you're a big fan of Rave Master, but you've never really gone into why. Could you give a short explanation as to why you liked Rave Master? What would you say? I would say that I think Rave Master worked because Hiro wasn't purposely writing every chapter to appease a fan base, which he's admitted he's doing now. But more than that, I think it just worked because it was an adventure. Like, it was a character going on a journey, as opposed to just fairy tale exists, things happen and they react to those villains. And also had better villains, like villains like King and King's Son and Pumpkin Daru and the original, like the real Oration 6, not the garbage version that was in Fairy Tail. Like, you know, these were like villains you were actually able to kind of like be like, oh, these guys are cool, these guys are exciting. So I think that kind of helped a lot. Two for Nick now. I was watching your review on Bleach and the subject of its pacing look was brought up. It is being praised as having a very cinematic look and pace to it. Like, reading one large chunk of it is more satisfying than reading week to week because it felt like watching an action-heavy movie. Do you think that's what Kubo has been going for in terms of his pacing? It might explain why so little happens week to week.
No.
Okay.
I think that people like to make excuses for Kubo because they like him too much.
All right. Question four.
I know that sounds very mean and bitter of me, but I honestly do believe that... I think that a lot of times, like, if you talk that... people overestimate the amount of preparation that a mangaka have to do that kind of stuff. And I don't think that he honestly plans out the way that action scenes flow chapter to chapter that much.
Question four, Nick, I've often had Food Wars described to me from new fans as much more akin to a shonen sports series than a traditional cooking manga. Would you describe it as it is, even though it doesn't really fit the typical sports series mold?
I mean, I understand what they're talking about. You know, it's a a relatively mundane but competitive activity that's given a lot of, you know, shonen flair. So I can see that interpretation, but I think that it's more a matter of, like, shonen sports manga are, you know, sports portrayed with the shonen competition flair. And so you see the similarities in that just because they're not actually directly punching each other.
I think a closer one actually is World Trigger to me, especially with the Rank Wars, feels more like a sports series than a battle shonen it does at times. Mm. But I could see a little bit of in Food Wars. Last question here. There are a lot of unexplored pot pizza in One Piece so far, and last I checked, Oda said the story is about 85% complete. He lists four things he definitely would want to see found out before the end of the series. What is the connection between Tashigi and Kuina? Is it just a coincidence they look like? Two, what is Shanks' deal? What's he trying to achieve? Three, who is Luffy's mom? And four, what is the connection between Ivankov and Crocodile? What do you guys think about those four? And then just a second part to that. So we'll just start with, what do you think of those four?
I don't know about the Tashigi thing. It's weird because the developments in Naruto where it turned out, everyone with red hair was related to the Uzumaki family, have taught me that if there is, you know, a deliberate note of physical similarity between characters, then it does mean something in shonen manga. It's not just a coincidence. So I guess there could be a connection. Maybe Tashigi is somehow indirectly related to Kuina, like a distant cousin or something like that.
Could be an older sister, somebody who left the island. I mean,
yeah,
there's not a lot of
I imagine we will eventually find out what Shanks' deal is. I imagine we will probably find out who Luffy's mom is.
I just want to real touch on the Kuina thing. I think right now I'd say it's coincidence, but I need to see how this stuff with Sanji plays out before, because this is the closest we've ever gotten to actually finding out more about a character's family. So if something like that happens with Zoro, then maybe more details will come out to happen.
Yeah.
What's Shanks' deal? I think he's just trying to live out Roger's dream. He's doing the same thing Roger's did. He's essentially, he was to Roger's what Luffy is to him. And he's just now, he's reached the Roger state of that life where he's going about, sailing about, and I think he's trying to discover everything that Roger figured out.
Luffy's mom? We'll figure that out, I'm sure.
She might not even be important. She might be as important as fucking Ace's mom, who was just a woman that they met. And we might find out more details about her later, too. So who knows, but yeah. And
what is the connection between Ivankov and Crocodile? That seems like not so important to me.
Yeah, it might be something big. I don't know. I don't think Crocodile was a woman, if that's what people are suggesting.
I've seen enough fan art of that.
Yeah. I mean, female Crocodile, Rule 63 Crocodile is pretty hot, I'll admit, but
huge tracts of land.
Yeah. And they asked then, what is a plot point in One Piece you can't wait till they get explored? For me, it's Kuma. I cannot wait until we find out what Kuma's deal is. He's one of the most interesting parts of One Piece to me. Like, you know, from his mysterious kind of introduction, being this, you know, a warlord we don't know much about, is really kind of cool. And just find out what his deal is. You know, he's a pacifista. He's willingly letting himself be turned into a robot, but he's been trying to help the Straw Hats out at various points. Like, he mentioned to Luffy before he sent all of them away in the archipelago, like, the next time you see me, I won't be this way anymore, as he was essentially doing them a favor by helping them escape the admirals. So I really want, and the, you know, Ivankov mentions, I think when he sees the pacifistas then at the Marineford arc, that he's like, oh, Kuma, what have you done to yourself? So it's something interesting. I think he has maybe connections to the revolutionaries, but I really just want to know what that guy's story is.
Let's move on to a question from Polakowski. Do you think that with the rise of esports, that there will be a manga that focuses on an esports team? Well, we talked about this in detail during the sports series bonus episode.
Yes. I'm going to try to find a way to make that available again for people to pick up. But essentially, the number one series I recommended was the esports manga. I think there's a tremendous amount of potential in it, particularly with the MOBA genre. And I think it's something they will. And actually, there is an esports anime being made coming out, I believe, in China next year. So it's something that people are taking a look at. So hopefully we'll get an esports series. It's the fastest growing sport. So
I think that it is an inevitability at a certain point. I'll go ahead and do the next one since we went through that so quickly. In defense of Katori!
I thought I lost this email.
This isn't so much as a question as a short response to the currently recent Katori hate train among World Trigger fans. Granted, the manga doesn't do the best job of characterizing her, but she's basically going through a crisis that a lot of inherently talented kids go through. They are able to breeze through school with little to no effort, not needing to study or improve themselves to get good grades. I forgot we did that once for her. But in doing so, they don't acquire any kind of work ethic like their peers. So when faced with a genuine challenge in a much less forgiving environment, they have no idea how to approach it. When they eventually fail, they don't know how to improve because they never had to in the past. They could just try hard. They can't just try hard because they simply don't know how to. This can lead to a lot of frustration and self-loathing, and at which point giving up is the only thing they can to get some peace of mind. I doubt that World Trigger will explore this type of character in much detail, but I just don't see how a realistically flawed person deserves so much disdain. Because she's a bitch.
It's a joke, too. I don't legitimately hate Katori that much. But for real, it's like a legitimate reason why I dislike her is I feel like that Ashihara made a mistake in having Hana be so sympathetic in her story in that flashback, and then Katori is the same sort of person she was now that she was then. Like, her change should have happened in the moment and not, like, 5 years after the fact, after she's already joined Border or whatever. But ultimately speaking, I just shit on Katori because it's fun. And I make her sound dumb.
I do understand the point you're trying to make.
No, I completely understand it.
Like, this is going to sound like me bragging, but when I was younger, I was, you know, a gifted kid. I got put in advanced, you know, classes and stuff. And things came really easily to me. And there were a couple of times here and there where, because I didn't struggle to do certain things, I would get frustrated when I did have to struggle because I hadn't had to do it earlier. That's the reason why advanced programs exist for kids, though, is to make sure that they receive the level of challenge that they can handle so that they can develop appropriately. The thing about Katori isn't the fact that, you know, she went through life never having to try, and then suddenly she was good at something, so she got frustrated. It's the fact that that's all that we've seen of her. So if you're going to take that and eventually, like, have her actually learn to be a better person, that's fine. But for right now, she's not a very likable person. Mm-hmm. You know, it's fine to be a not likable person, not have a character that's not likable at first, if the point is either for them to not be likable, or if it is for them to eventually develop into a much better person. And I have faith in Ashihara that either he'll just drop the character completely, or he'll go one of those two routes. So there you go. The question that is associated with this is actually, though, what exactly makes you hate a fictional character? Are there negative personality traits, or do you need something more?
It tends to be their actions. I mean, there are certain personality traits that I do just, like, have, like, issues with or things like that, but ultimately it comes down to what they do. Like, if they do bad shit. Like, who was the weird psychic rapist character from Skip Beat? Who's like, this dude's fucking awful because he keeps trying to sexually assault this character, and that's why I don't like him. Like, not because he's annoying or anything like that. This dude is doing despicable shit, and it's treated like a joke to the audience.
Yeah.
Questionnaire Jack LeBron, a short question. Is it safe to say Tomura Shigaraki is the Kylo Ren of manga right now?
That's actually a really interesting and, in some ways, dead-on comparison, I think.
Yeah, it's actually not too bad.
It's good. It's good.
I'll jump into this next one, then, since that one was short. Dear Chris, driving to Rolls-Royce with my bitches, once we get that $100,000 a month on Patreon gold T, Larios.
Come on, guys, we can make it.
And Nick, why am I the ruler of time? Because I'm secretly not a Wolf Nagalar, the T for time, Bandenreich. Seriously, it makes as much sense as Katniss Thunderbolt bitch having powers. Freeman. I asked this question because you didn't have time. Oh, he's asking me my remake of Lost characters. So he put in Kate being Sakura, which is a great one because they both do fit that. Being like, people who are like, I want to be on the mission, and they don't do anything. Just kind of being annoying characters. I put Osamu for Jack because they both are good leaders who have to kind of learn some harsh realities about life and grow and change. That's not the best comparison, but he's the closest I have. Gajiel is Sawyer, essentially, like, right down to a T. Like, you just need to give Gajiel a southern drawl, and they'd be perfect for one another, because they're people who we initially see as bad guys, but grow to become, honestly, some of the most likable characters in the entire series. Hurley is Usopp, because he's just fun. He's, like, that light comic relief around. Locke is Yukimitsu, because they're both two guys who believe something special about themselves, but they keep getting hit with hardships that push everything back. However, Yukimitsu's story ends on a happy note, which does not happen for Lost, unfortunately. Ben Sasuke, because he's just a dick, but he has you know, family issues, and he becomes a good guy at the end. He just has to figure some shit out. And then Rose and Bernard, I have this Alice and Kurikiba, who are just the normal people who just, like, stand around and watch all these crazy fuckers deal with their drama and are just like, God, fucking, can we just be married over here and just be happy and shit? Stop bringing your drama into this.
Are you shipping Alice and Kurikiba now?
Yeah, I just felt like, look, they're close enough. I couldn't find, like, a good married couple in Jump, but I was like, they're two of the closest I could see to just being, like, able to, peacefully live on the island with one another. They seem very comfortable. Question two. Nick, my favorite video is yours is reaction shots you did on most of the manga at the time. Would you ever think of doing one for the other manga you cover weekly, even an audio version, if you didn't want to do a video on it?
Probably not. Okay. I get out all my snark on this show.
And again for Chris, would you ever use a kick-assy announcer voice for Weekly Manga Recap Lives? Like, say, the announcer in World Trigger or something like that. I can see what we'll do about that.
Alright. Moving on. From Supernova RX. Hello, Y Typhlosion Ace and Chris Charizard Novice. If Yugi, Osamu, and Naruto were on a three-way date with Teya, Kitora, and Hinata at a restaurant, Soma's the chef, Vegeta is the manager, Asuka Naklavar is the waiter, and Weevil, Orochimaru, and insert random villain here are there to ruin the triple date. Like, I couldn't even think of a World Trigger villain. What do you think would happen?
So, next question from the Swedish show.
I imagine Vegeta would kill everyone. Second, who is more over the top? Beast Wars Megatron or... Who is... Is this supposed to be Aizen? Because it says A-Z-O-N. Do you mean Aizen? I don't know. I'm going to say Aizen if that is supposed to be the case, because seriously, he's Aizen. Beast Wars Megatron was just eccentric, but he would actually serious up if the situation called for it. Third, who would win, Nyriss or Infamous King, where Nyriss is the fusion of Nick and Chris, and Infamous King is the combination of Infamous Planet and Tekking?
I like Crick better. Sounds, Crick. Yeah, Crick sounds cooler. Like Crick.
I feel as though we would work better because, I mean, Infamous King, Infamous Planet would just take over the whole thing and not be bothered.
Infamous Planet couldn't get fucking E-Harmony to accept him in a profile. You think he's doing a fusion dance with somebody? You think he's compatible enough for that?
Tekking would be all into it. He was like, come on, let's do it! No.
Infamous Planet wasn't compatible for E-Harmony to even consider letting him into their website.
Oh, it's okay, Infamous, we love you.
I mean, E-Harmony doesn't, but...
And fourth, what do you think a DC universe in the way of the Marvel mangaverse would be like? I guess he is basically like a DC mangaverse. I assume that they would just cancel it after 13 chapters because they keep on rebooting everything. Alright, from the Swedish...
I love this email.
I love this question. I don't know who sent this to us.
No, this is from somebody who just calls himself the Swedish Chef and created an email specifically for us. I won't give it out, but what I love is that clearly the Swedish Chef at whatever was taken, so they had to put like four actualizers on top of it, then two to, I guess, make it one they could use.
You know, like whenever you know, someone joins Twitter and they're like, oh, I joined late, so I had to get... Definitely actual, super definitely me.
Yeah, like that Kevin Smith or something like that. Like, it's like three extra versions of that on there. Dear Ryruda of America and Runo and King of Kuneda Tea.
Glad I don't have to do my terrible Swedish Chef voice. You should keep going.
I originally accidentally checked on your podcast wheel trying to list the Swedish Wunderkind Cookie podcast. I greatly enjoyed your banter and analysis of the Wusig manga quote of the. The last time I enjoyed a Shuma Wusig.
It's evolving into Benzai.
Vesvi. Oh, wait, I think it's his headset's fucking with me. And Swedish, Mishpiki Juganza in the Shark Tank.
He just went right back to German and it's gonna hit Benzai again, though.
Just let me go with it, Nick. But Luffy did that best. Tis sure he speak to my interest. Perhaps I will invent a back sumamunga up to your tweed sometime. I want everyone to know, we're not, like, fucking this up on purpose. This is literally written in, like, a Swedish accent of English words.
So it's, you know, it's like, delivery deeds, this year is peak meat trees, perhaps the feeling fits and picks them up, manga up to read, super team. Hey, super news are confused at the word of peace, or please, or if it is needy, depends on the language after.
Sure, I'm not confused at the word of peace. Hopefully, they are you feel better in the Sweden. Japan is a very long, very way after all. I have a quick question for you two. What would you like to see in a Swedish chef in the cooking manga?
Not if we have to read your dialogue like this.
I still don't even actually know what the question... I think it's, what would you like to see in a Swedish chef cooking manga? But I'm not sure.
Would you like to see the Swedish chef do something in Shokugeki no Soma?
Lots of love of the wonderful land of Sweden. Burk, burk, burk! I applaud you 100% for the commitment to that. It is a lot of dedication. It is not going unappreciated. I think the Swedish chef would be very fun in Shokugeki no Soma. Oh, that hurt my mouth right there.
Okay. Next up, a bunch of questions from Campy. Dear Y Ruler of the hearts and minds of us all, and Rello, mints make me gag because they remind me of rotten eggs tea. Wrestle the Underground gets recommended, and for a more fun one, Himoto Umaru-chan. On to the questions. I recently read an article which attempted to defend fan service in anime and manga in response to another video demonizing it as killing the modern anime industry. The argument basically boiled down to fan service helps the industry due to low budget fan service shows bringing in people who just want to see sexy anime girls do shit. Yeah, there are companies who, you know, just churn out, you know, sexy anime girl fan service in order to then turn around and, you know, do higher budget stuff. I do know that as a thing.
Yeah, I mean, that's it. Look, that exists in all, like, media. Like, there are movie studios that put out garbage movies because they know they make a return on profit. Like, there's 1,000 Kevin Hart movies a year, and it's because they all make money back, and then they use some of that money at the studio to produce higher budget movies. Like, it, I know it's that maybe you don't see that as the same thing as fan service, but it is kind of in a way, because they're both kind of appealing
to... They just
to
appeal to what's popular in a lowest common denominator kind of way.
Yeah. Sex sells, too, and that's, like, just an aspect of it. So, yeah, like, I can completely understand. Look, it's... Shonen manga...
Also, who doesn't want Kevin Hart to be comfortable? Seriously. Yeah. You monster.
Yeah, he's doing great. But seriously, like, Jump Shonen's aimed at young boys. They like looking at it. So, yeah. I don't have an issue with it until it becomes... One, when it takes itself too seriously. Like, I always, like... You know, Food Wars is one of the most flagrant ones out there, but it takes itself so not seriously that I love it. Like, it's always goofy fan service in a way. And then just as long as the fan service doesn't become creepy, like Fairy Tale does at times. So,
and don't try to pretend that your fan service series is like changing the world, like the way they tried to do in Bakuman with like what Panty Flash Fight or whatever the fuck is. And all the girls have these deep and interesting reasons why they don't want their panties to be seen. It's like, what the fuck is wrong with you people?
Like we're
stupid.
We're gonna find with Air Gear. Like Air Gear is a bad example of fan service because a lot of it's just kind of like crude and cruel at times. But other series, generally, I don't ever mind it in.
Okay.
This is still you, right?
Oh, it's me. Yeah. Have either of you been keeping up with Dragon Ball Super, either watching or keeping up with the arcs through news outlets or reviews? Any opinions? I haven't been keeping up with it.
No. What's Dragon Ball Super?
It's the new Dragon Ball series, I guess.
Oh, okay. Is that different than Kai?
Yes.
Okay.
It's new stuff instead of...
I had no idea it was new.
Yeah. C, with the new Godzilla movie, Shin Gojira, or Godzilla Resurgence Abroad, coming out soon, or is now out, depending on when this is read, I was curious if either of you got into tokusatsu shows like Godzilla, Power Rangers, or Super Sentai, Ultraman, etc. If so, what drew you to them? If not, was there something that turned you off to them? I don't have time to watch a lot of stuff, that's all.
I I appreciate Godzilla stuff, but it's never been my wheelhouse. Actually, Randy, who I did exposition dub with, he was a huge Godzilla fan. So I understood he would go into huge discussions about like the depth and the various characters of the Godzilla universe and all that. It's never been my thing. Power Rangers I can get into a little bit, but it's not like my number one go-to either.
Alongside the new Godzilla film, Toho is doing a merchandising crossover between Godzilla and Neon Genesis Evangelion. It has resulted in some pretty cool stuff and some not so cool stuff. Google Monster Arts Godzilla Eva Unit 01 colors to see a purple Godzilla wearing a green bikini. What two franchises would you like to see? What two franchises would you like to see collaborate merchandising together in a similar way?
Oh, it's not an actual green bikini. He just has colors on his body where the bikini would be. I want, like, a little string bikini on Godzilla. You know what? I didn't have a great answer for this one, but I said I'd like to see if, like, the Shonen Jump universes crossed into Kingdom Hearts. Like, if you go to, the different Shonen Jump worlds within Kingdom Hearts, I thought that'd be pretty cool.
Hmm. Fair enough.
Enough content in each of those worlds to cover that kind of story.
And finally, a silly question is all good Q&A emails must end. You are co-DMing a D&D game. Your players are made up of the current protagonists in each series. How do they build their characters? And being shonen manga protagonists, how do they fuck up the gang, causing you to pull each other's hair out of from frustration and eventually drink bleach?
I have an answer for this.
I got as far as Asta plays the most broken character type. And stops.
I have specifically who's at my table and what characters they're playing. So, Luffy is at the table. He is playing a dwarf warrior because he thinks dwarfs are cool. Asta is at the table. He's playing a human warrior because warriors and humans are cool. Toriko is at the table and he's playing a Goliath warrior. Natsu is at the table, and he's playing a dragonborn warrior who has multiclassed into mage. Soma is at the table, and he's playing a gnome ranger because he just likes playing stupid bullshit to try it out. And Osamu is at the table playing an elf cleric because he has to balance and make up for
everyone else.
The rest of the fucking party went into warriors.
One of the things that I put down with that I came up with was Ichigo keeps on multiclassing into something else every single level.
He just keeps changing into something new. Oh, that's great.
It's like, I'm bored of this character. I want to try a new one.
But I don't want to change characters. I just want this one to be something completely different now.
So can my fighter, wizard, priest now also be a monk?
It's like, why?
Fine, Ichigo.
Whatever. One less warrior in this stupid party.
No, he's still a warrior.
God damn it. Sorry, Osamu, you just have to keep min-maxing for as much healing as possible.
Oh, man.
Alright, let's wrap this up with...
Yeah.
Oh, wow, this is actually a really long question.
Yeah, Brawla, okay. Well, the questions themselves are actually fairly basic, and Brawla helpfully emboldened them.
She did. Alright, well, we'll do this one, and I guess one more. So, questions from Brawla, who says, as she puts it, your beloved lesbian correspondent. You two stated the Water Temple is your favorite temple in Ocarina of Time. It is. That's seriously a great temple. But I always preferred the Spirit Desert Temple, and I continued that thought and understood that overall I just like desert environments in fiction. So what are your favorite and most disliked environments in fiction? And she says you can kind of go with any kind of genre, really.
Everyone hates sewers.
Sewer levels are very unfun, generally. There's not many good ones out there.
No, because they're boring, and they're just, you know, these tunnels.
Yeah. I always like water worlds. A water stage is generally a pretty cool, usually, because water is always, like, a place where you can be very inventive, too. Like, everyone hated Vashir in Cataclysm in World of Warcraft, because you had to fucking swim through the entire zone. And I was like, no, this zone's fucking awesome, because it's different than every other goddamn zone. It's like, everything is unique in this place. I love it.
That can be off-putting. I understand, because, you know, it's sort of disarming. But it has an extra level of challenge. My least favorite part of Ninja Gaiden for Xbox to play through is a part where you have to spend a lot of time swimming around because
yeah, and I can get there, that.
you can, swimming is a mechanic that exists throughout the whole game, but you don't have to do a whole lot of it. And when you do it, you're not nearly as agile. You can only use like two weapons. You have, you know, limited air, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And the entire thing is built around, okay, you know, you have to get to this point before you reach here in order to get this thing. And then you can't see because it's dark. And so you get this item. And then those things that you get, you can't use throughout the rest of the game. You never use them again.
Yeah.
So that's frustrating.
I get that.
But at the same time, it's a nice, it's also a change of pace. Mm-hmm. People talk about like, oh, the water temple is just one giant sewer cavern. It's like, no, it's not.
No, it's awesome.
It's got a lot of different types of rooms and hallways and stuff. It's its own, I mean, it's a dungeon, just like the rest of them.
It's a really inventive one, too. Fun.
Yeah.
And also, I really like music in a lot of the water scenes. Like, my favorite stage music in Super Mario 64 is Dry Dry Docks. I thought that was, like, it's a really calming, peaceful kind of thing, and that's like a game I could just swim around in the water in.
Until the eel eats you. I know Dry Dry Docks is the, yeah, that is the eel.
There is an eel in that one.
I also
always really like when there's like, it sounds kind of racist to say, but when there's like an Asian themed kind of world or something like that, like when WoW had the Mists of Pandaria expansion, like mm-hmm. I always like the aesthetic, the music, everything that kind of comes with that, like martial arts style. It's always just like fun to me. So it doesn't necessarily have to be like one kind of area, but I like those kind of
environments too, like, you know, because the building, the, you know, like traditional like Chinese or Japanese architecture, the way that the roofs look and stuff, it always looked cool to me.
Yeah.
I hate sky levels, honestly.
Sky levels can be annoying. Cloud Cuckoo Land in Banjo Tooie, I think it was, where you go went there, sucked. I hate Cloud Cuckoo Land. It was very unfun. Or not Cloud... Yeah, Cloud Cuckoo Land, I think. Yeah.
Okay.
What are some of your favorite cliches, tropes, and archetypes in shonen? I think we've answered this one to some extent before.
We have.
I think we actually have actually answered this directly. So our last question, she's referring to Murcielago, and she's referring to the main character in it who is a badass and has done awful things, but she loves her anyway because she's really funny and a lesbian big breast. So she's like, is there ever a character in a battle or even a manga or anything like that which you like and enjoy knowing that they are still a bad character?
Like one of those things where it's like, oh, they are objectively bad, I guess. I don't know.
Or you just like them despite the fact that you really shouldn't be rooting for them.
Oh, well, that's different.
Because I don't think necessarily the character in Murcielago is a bad character. It's just like, I don't think I should be happy that she succeeds because she's not really a good person. I actually kind of felt that way about Walter White for a while. Like, even though I recognized he was a complete fuckhead, there were still points of me that were just like, I kind of hope this guy has a happy ending.
There's a lot of characters in Game of Thrones that are like that, you know? Like, almost everyone is morally reprehensible in that series.
Oh, yeah.
I guess I could say Hiruma. I mean, he's like my favorite character, and he lived by blackmailing people and forcing them to do stuff that they didn't want to.
Yeah.
And he was amazingly entertaining.
I'm trying to think if there's a manga character I have that's really like that. Midoriya, actually, is a really good one. I like that guy, despite the fact that he did kill a lot of people. He killed like a billion people, didn't he?
Well, he rained meteors down on the world.
And created like a half apocalypse. But I'm still like, oh,
yeah, caused a worldwide famine.
I'm like, that dude's so cool. He told his mom that he loved her while she was trying to spit acid at him. He's a BAMF. Meanwhile, he's like gourmet world Hitler.
Oh. Hey, well, Acacia's a dick, so.
Yeah, this is true.
Alright, I guess let's finish up.
Yes.
Dear SS Osamu X Kitora and SS Gajil X Levy. Okay. You're really fucked up now. Torika saw you throw away all those chocolate Pop-Tarts and stepping on them for good measure. You snatched the last batch of dollar store eggs right in front of someone's face, and on the way out, you tripped up Nico Robin, causing CP9 to catch up to her and drag her kicking and screaming through the gates of justice. Anyway, because of that, you now need to defend yourselves against Toriko and Luffy, and somehow manage to win a Shokugeki against Soma. Working within the rules of each series, how would you go about taking them down?
Well, what you've forgotten is that as you trip, as we were having Robin dragged away, she tripped over Natsu. So this is technically Fairy Tail included in this as well. And me and Nick just talk about how much we love Eggnog and the Water Temple, and that friendship will never let us down. And then Toriko and Luffy lose automatically to us. And the Shokugeki, and the Shokugeki Soma actually realized that he never wanted to beat us to begin with, because he kind of wants to be friends with us as well, because he also likes the Water Temple, so he just gives up.
See, I was just going to say we convince Toriko and Luffy that we're going to prepare something super delicious for them, and thus use their food.
That's a good one, Jim.
And then in order to defeat Soma and Shokugeki, we just Coyote Blades him and drop a pot of Snickers.
We just cheat. I really want... I know no one could ever draw it, but I want someone to make fan art of, like, you and a Shokugeki, and I'm just your Mr. Fuji, like, your evil wrestling manager, and I'm, like, sneaking around the kitchen, just, like, blowing pockets of sand at the other guys, and, like, pushing their food off the stove so it hits the ground. Just doing, like, the dirtiest, cheapest shit. Meanwhile, you're just cooking absolute garbage because you don't cook. So it's just always like...
I burned the rice again!
Just like some garbage dish that you put out. But the other one's just full of so much sabotage that you somehow have gotten like a seat on the council anyway.
Well, he keeps on winning the Shokugekis.
He's fucking undefeated the Shokugekis. We've never thrown out his heel of a manager who keeps... fucking pooping in people's food while he steals popcorn from kids in the front row.
Someone's like, I've found the way to defeat King's seventh seat Freeman. We just have to ban his manager from kitchen side. You just come into the kitchen wearing fucking Groucho Marx disguise.
I'm like fucking Team Rocket. I show up in like a fake boobs and a dress, and I'm just like, hello, I'm someone completely different despite the fact I didn't change my face or hair. I brought it to the knee! Boom!
Okay. Well, you know what they say, everyone. Go out on a high note. That's going to do it for Weekly Mock Recap Q&A edition for September 2016. Thank you, everyone, for joining us. Until next month, when we do answer more of your questions. We managed to get through about a month of questions, thankfully. Yeah. And we will answer more next time. Keep on sending those in. It's better to have too many than to have too few waiting for us. Of course, be sure to watch our regular episode. The next one should be next Wednesday at around 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time right here on twitch.tv. We don't do Twitch anymore. Hitbox.tv/RelloT.
As a reminder, then, if you guys want to send in questions too, or answers rather, for the questions I asked at the beginning of the show, yes. Just send them in. As I said, keep them during your email. Those questions again. Which anime or J-pop/J-rock songs do you think would make really good running songs? And the second question is, who would you like to see, what internet personalities would you like to see go up against one another in a Trollo T trivia contest? And you can tell me what the topic is, too. So send those over to weeklymangarecap@yahoo.com.
Mm-hmm.
So that is going to do it, everybody. Thanks for listening. We'll catch you next time right here, hitbox.tv/RolloT. This is still the episode, though, so that's a weird send-off for you guys. Goodbye.